off.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Spot Read Podcast. My name is Danny O'Hanlon.
My name's Niall McCatt.
And I was saying to you when I got here, Niall, before I go any further, after the last episode we did, we got some very encouraging text messages from Giles Brody saying that he's been enjoying the new episodes.
Oh, nice one. Good one, Giles.
Cheers for
Gentleman
that, Giles.
This is Gentleman Giles.
Gentleman Giles, indeed.
Yeah. Makes him sound like a 19th century boxer, doesn't it?
I thought it made him sound like he should be advertising frozen peas or something.
Gentleman
Giles. There's a logo on the front, like, you know, Gentleman Giles' processed peas.
Like Mr. Peanut.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
But I was saying to you when I got here, I was like, it feels like 2 weeks since we've done an episode, but it's been at least a week and a half. Like,
it's been 2 weeks. It's only been a week and a half since it was out, but it's been 2 weeks since we did it.
I don't think it went straight up when we recorded it.
It went up fairly sharpish, though. I had it in Amsterdam. I was listening to it in Amsterdam.
You were walking around Amsterdam listening to us.
Yeah, I listened to it, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes when I listen back to them, I do kind of skip a lot of it because I'm just like, I can't walk around for 2 hours listening to myself. Like, something will happen to me.
I had little enough to be doing. I was sitting in an airport for ages. I picked the worst day's weather in all of history, I believe, was officially...
What day was it? What was the
creed in Amsterdam? I don't know. It was last week. It was last Thursday. It was awful. I was sitting around the airport for ages. Then we got onto the plane and we were sitting on the plane for ages.
You must have been losing your mind.
A wee bit. I was doing it and I could. I was reading. But then my phone started. I was reading on my Kindle app and then my phone started to go and my boarding passes were on my phone. And I was like, oh, fucking Jesus. I better not fucking lose this. So I had to turn off the phone. I went in, bought a book. In fucking Eason's or wherever it was, W.H. Smith's.
Exchanging paper for a bigger pile of paper.
That's exactly right. And left that in Amsterdam. Forgot it when I left the hotel.
What did you say it was?
Arrowwood, I think it was called.
What?
It wasn't great. I'm not fucking going seeking it out to find out the ending. Like, I would have liked it. At the same time, I would have liked to see how it ended. But, that was weird. That's the most memorable thing about the trip to Amsterdam. And then we were flying over. We were actually flying over. And most of the flight was grand. Most of the flight was absolutely fine. But you see, they announced beforehand there was a problem with air traffic control. So I was like, that sounds made up. Somebody's drunk somewhere. Like, you know. But they announced there was a problem with air traffic control. And I went... So I was just sitting there waiting. But when we were going over, the pilot announced that it's like very bad weather in Amsterdam, extremely strong winds, and they've shut down two of the runways.
Oh,
and so
Jesus.
They were trying to get all three runways worth of traffic down on one runway. And I was like, okay. Like, they wouldn't let us up here if it was dangerous. Like,
but isn't it just always dangerous?
Very rarely anything happens. Like,
okay.
I wouldn't be a bad flyer. Like,
no, me neither. My wife is a terrible flyer.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that before. Is she still...
Yeah, the flight back from America was one of those, like, the longest 8 hours of my life, I think.
Didn't you guys do like some kind of aversion therapy thing?
Yeah, we did. It's still an issue.
That's a good job she was not on this flight.
Well, actually, the flight back from America, we came into Dublin on a really windy day, and it took a while to land, and it didn't help matters.
No, I wouldn't imagine, because that's basically what happened. The flight was grand the whole way across, and then... You were thinking there would be like 15, 20 minutes left in the flight, and the pilot comes on and says, just to let you know, we're experiencing a little bit of a backlog in Amsterdam, as we said earlier. So we're going to be circling here over the North Sea for a little while, and we'll let you know as soon as we get clearance. So I'm like, all right.
How long were you circling the North Sea?
I don't even fucking know. A good fucking half hour, maybe 40 minutes. Like, but then when we came down to land, that was fucking brown trousers, because it was wobbling all over the fucking place, and it was just bright enough that you could see the land, like, and it was like, oh my fucking god, I never saw it or felt it tipping left and right like I did that landing. And I had the fucking I put down the book, and I was holding the front seat, the headrest of the front seat.
Oh,
with
you
my
got
hands.
That bad?
It was pretty fucking bad now, and I kind of looked around. And there were loads of people doing the same thing all through the plane. And I was like, oh, fuck, this will just be... It'll be announced in the Argus, local man killed on the way to whorehouse. Oh, God. I was like, oh, my God. What a terrible thing I've done. And I know, I wouldn't be there to set the stories. I didn't want the horse, I wanted the mushrooms. I wouldn't be there to defend myself, you know?
Local pervert. Local degenerate.
Anyway, look, that was
a local degenerate found dead with own podcast on phone.
Vain local pervert, Kyle McCann. Oh dear, it was that was kind of the highlight of my trip. Then it was pretty quiet after that. I got into the hotel late, so the first night I really only got down the town. I took one walk through the red light district, but because I'd gone there sort of impromptu on my own, it's one thing to be a group of lads walking through the red light district. It's kind of a seedier thing to be a single man walking through the red light district.
Oh, so in what sense? Like,
oh, you just look like you're on the prowl. You look like you're a serious prospect, like, you know. And so I did. I went, walked through it once, then went, bought some weed, and went into a pub, which was closing at 1 o'clock, like, and this was about fucking 10:45 I arrived in this fucking place. I didn't know it was closing at 1 o'clock until they told me to get the fuck out. But, so I went back to the fucking hotel and smoked some stuff on the balcony. And
so you had a nice room and everything, like?
Oh yeah, it was a good deal. It was kind of half
it wasn't
the
like a hostel kind of thing, like?
No, it was a 4-star, although 4 stars on the continent. I remember somebody, I knew somebody worked in hospitality before, and they told me the 4-star in Ireland is a wee bit of a cut above what you would get on the continent, and they were right, because it was very basic, really.
Yeah, but anytime I've been there, I've been staying in a hostel, so anything above that would be, like, new for me.
I've done that. No, it was grand, it was good, it was a good time, you know. The second day, then, the mushroom place was open, so I kind of just...
Did you partake while you were there?
Oh, I did, yeah.
How was that?
It was lovely.
Just on your own? Did you not get freaked out?
No, I didn't get freaked out, no. I was talking to some people over the course of the day.
Bit of Pink Floyd on your headphones?
No, I took the headphones. I didn't want the headphones when I was sitting in the street booze. But it was lovely.
Good.
Very relaxing.
Nice.
Very nice. Awesome.
Brain vacation.
That was it, yeah. And then I came back and continued the brain vacation.
Oh, really?
I haven't been at work like since Christmas.
Really? When are you back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you're back tomorrow, okay.
Yeah, hit the ground running.
Jeez, I was the opposite. I was like off, or not off, I was working like since Stephen's Day, back at it.
There's something to be said for it. I've just been fucking mining Netflix, like.
Oh, so have you seen anything good?
Upstar Crow, that one. David Mitchell, Ben Anthem one. It's, you know what it is? It's Blackadder. It's like somebody
that's
said,
right,
do
though.
An extra season of Blackadder.
But I mean, that's okay, because, like, you know, the kind of character that David Mitchell does... It's not that far removed from what Rowan Atkinson does on Blackadder. It's like minus the confidence, pretty much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
that's
know.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Blackadder's just so fucking good, though. Like, I know it seems like a pretty obvious thing to say, but...
Well...
Those last three series of it, not the first one, but the other three, are really good.
And some of the Christmas specials were good.
Oh, yeah, Carol is really good.
There's only one, is there? Oh, no, there's two.
Oh, yeah, there was the one that they made in, like, 2001 or something, like... Oh, it was for
the Millennium.
Yeah, it was shite.
Yeah, some of it was alright.
I don't know. No, I didn't think it was that good.
Although
I've only seen it once. Maybe we should go back and watch it again.
Well, now you've got yourself an extra season to go and sit down and look. Because there's nothing... There is one thing about it now that I kind of... There's one character. I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's one character in it who's like an actor. But he trained in Italy and he thinks he's a bit above everybody else and he's constantly offering them advice. And like, as I was listening to him, I was like, he's kind of like Ricky Gervais, that guy. And as it went on...
You're like, he's really like Ricky Gervais.
As it went on, I you know what? Talk to me. When you get the chance to watch it and talk to me. Because I really think he was quite deliberately... He's this really snotty, annoying prick.
So nothing like Ricky Gervais then, really?
Well, I think he was deliberately... I think that by the end, there's especially a scene at the end. The whole way through, you're like, this guy is fucking Ricky Gervais. He's doing a Ricky Gervais impression. And then at the end, there's this, like, fucking scene where they're... You know, one of Shakespeare's plays has been putting on. He's like, no, the future is natural. It's naturalistic. Just like... In an office.
And
I was like, oh my god, that's not me seeing that. They've been doing that deliberately the whole time.
This
is a character assassination of Ricky Gervais happening in front
of me. Outside of someone who is involved in some kind of scandal, can you remember in, like, disliking somebody as quickly as you did Ricky Gervais?
I liked him very much for a good while.
Did you? I just kind of felt after
the...
Oh yeah, no, but... And when you saw David Brent, you kind of thought, wow, he's playing this annoying dickhead really well. And then you're like, oh, right. He's just like, that's who he is.
Well, was David Brent that annoying? There was something... I mean, he wasn't as annoying as Andy from Extras, like.
No, Andy from Extras is really full of himself.
Yeah.
Dave Brent was kind of... Yeah, he was a bit more sympathetic, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, he there wasn't...
Stephen Merchant kind of made Extras for me. I thought he was... Stephen Merchant was really funny on that show.
He was really funny.
Because the Andy stuff was boring. You're just like, I don't care, really, about you. You know?
There was the one where he meets the really boring guy, or the really depressing guy. That was kind of funny.
The big bald guy.
Yeah.
And that's when they're at the restaurant. And that speaking of Ben Elton, maybe that's why he's so mad. Doesn't he... your man go, oh, I know what'll cheer you up. I got us two tickets to We Will Rock You.
Oh, yeah.
And then doesn't, like, Ricky Gervais. That is really funny, actually. Doesn't he just plunge his face into his soup?
Yeah, I thought that was
And then came up and said, can I get a napkin, please? And he wipes it out of his eyes and does it again. that was good. That's the only way out of that situation.
Fake a mental breakdown.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was fake.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. I just find, like, they are both really annoying characters, but I feel more warmly towards David Brent than I do towards Andy Millman.
Yeah.
Andy Millman just seemed a little bit nasty.
Yeah. And he, like...
There didn't seem to be much harm in David Brent. Like.
I suppose not. And, well, I mean, he'd be annoying to work for.
Unquestionably. Unquestionably. I'm getting a fierce bang of stew out of this fucking glass.
I think I can't taste it.
No, I can't taste it, but I can smell it.
Well, I mean, to the listeners now who don't know what on earth you're talking about, you washed the glasses that were drinking the whiskey out of with bowls that had stew in them, essentially.
Yeah, that I'd eaten stew out of. They weren't, like, full of stew.
you didn't wash the glass in a sink full of stew and wonder why.
No.
fair smell of stew off this. I can't imagine what would have caused it.
Yeah, I feel like I can smell the stew out of the glass. So do you have, like, a procedure for washing up?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we have a dishwasher in the house now.
Good thing.
I don't like it.
So I have a dishwasher over there. I never use it.
Yeah, if it was up to me, we wouldn't use our dishwasher either. It's like, and Katza was saying, well, you have to wash things a little bit before you put them into the dishwasher. And then I'm like, then why the fuck are we using it? Like, you know, why don't we just wash them and dry them and put them away and it not be a thing where, you know, later on the drawer's full of dishes and it's like, who left them there? Or whatever, like, you know, between the four of us, like, you know.
Yeah, well, you see, you need more than one person to make it worth your while, really. A dishwasher, yeah. I think.
Unless you let it pile up for days and get stinky, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then what's it doing? It only sloshing stink around.
No dabbing, like.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Anyway.
This is a Spot Me podcast, Niall.
Good to know.
This isn't the dishwashing podcast.
Home tips.
Home tips.
The home tips hour.
From fucking two dudes who have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not the worst, though.
Eh.
I've lived it. No, you're certainly messy. No. I was just, on the way in, you know the pile of shirts that's in your window?
Yeah.
Have they been there since you moved in? Do you wear those shirts? Or is that just where you keep all your drying? Or?
No, once it's dry, I throw it there. There's a fucking... That's going in that pile now.
Well, so you fold?
Until they get to the pile, yeah. Yeah, basically.
So you fold them to throw them into the pile.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I'm not saying it's the perfect system, Daddy.
So the listeners know, since you moved here pretty much, there's been a visible pile of laundry in your front window.
Clean laundry.
Clean laundry. No, I wouldn't tar you with that brush that you were putting dirty. I will say, though, from the other side of the window, it's not important. Like, it's just a pile of clothes. Like, you know.
All right, okay. I got it sorted. You and me mother.
Hey, leave it there. I'm just saying. I was just like, it's only today I was thinking, is that the same pile that's always been there? Are these shirts that have fallen out of favor?
Well, it's an interesting question, Danny. It is, I would say it's the same pile, but it has been reconstituted by many different shirts. So it's like Trigger's brush for Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Its head's been replaced three times and it's had seven handles.
Yeah. Good old Trigger.
But every week, Niall, you and I meet up and we swap pop cultural artifacts.
We do that.
Be they films, albums, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get back here and we talk about them. I suppose...
Ad nauseum,
yeah. And, you know, hopefully much else besides. Not just, indeed, like, what are we reviewing things here?
Well, can you imagine anything? Talking about them.
Yeah, we're talking about it. We're not reviewing them, though. We're not giving them our 4 out of 5 or whatever.
Yeah, imprimatur.
What's that?
Your imprimatur here.
Have you said that before? And I've also asked you what it meant the last time.
I don't know. It's the Pope. It's something to do with the Pope. The Pope's imprimatur. It means he approves of it. He gives it his sanction.
Oh, okay. I didn't realise that.
Mm. Well, I'm not saying I'm the Pope. I like the Pope, though. I like him.
You like the Pope?
Yeah. Do you not
think about the Pope very much?
I think about him a fair amount. Like, a lot of people were getting very excited about him, and I knew that was foolish. Because no matter how decent a fella he is himself, the Catholic Church is a fucking oil tanker of a thing to start turning in mid fucking journey, like, you know.
Yeah,
He was never going to spin it on a sixpence like James fucking Bond, like, you know. Which is what campaign, I think people were kind of expecting when he took the...
This is Francis, isn't it?
Yeah, Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. Activist Pope.
I haven't really paid much attention, I must be honest.
He's a very, very interesting guy, very political guy, very little sort of outsider for the Pope now. He wasn't a favourite.
He's a renegade Pope.
It's nearly like a pitch for a TV show, isn't it?
The renegade Pope. The Bishop!
Renegade Pope. Did you watch that Young Pope?
What's that?
The TV show with Jude Law in it.
No, I did not. Is it about a young Pope?
Yeah, it's about this young bishop or something who gets elevated to the status of Pope and the adventures he has while being Pope.
Are the adventures... Do you not have to be allowed to do some stuff to have an adventure? Like, will he hook up with this? No, he can't.
Well,
there's going to be no love interest.
It's not all about riding, Danny, you know.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be a renegade...
Just look at my trip to Amsterdam. It's not called the Renegade Pope, it's called the Young Pope. I have heard nothing about it. That's the only reason I ask. Because I remember thinking that could be interesting.
The Young Pope.
I would watch that. Like, it's a HBO thing, so it's never going to come on Netflix. Like, but I would give it the first episode, like, and see what
it is. Go to that wonderful streaming site, Potlocker, that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
And just avoid the digital knives that it throws at you.
Popeye and the Young Pope. The two big draws.
Potlocker, like, who is this guy? Popeye and the Young Pope.
Oh, listen. Anyway.
They'll think they're getting hacked when they see those fucking... Those numbers.
This is clearly a bot. There is no fucking conception of what drives a human being.
So, Niall, I got you this week to watch a movie directed by one of our own, John Carney.
One of your own, maybe.
One of mine. But, former
what
Frame.
What cunts we have.
Oh, screw it.
Ah, he's probably all right. I like quite a lot of
the
his
kind
stuff.
The kind of man who wears a functionless scarf. You know, a scarf that you kind of toss over your shoulder inside that's like, not to keep you warm or anything. Like
he's in fucking Brideshead Revisited or something.
Yeah, like he's Biggles or something. Like.
Surely Biggles had a function for
yeah,
the scarf.
To be
he was
fair,
up there
yeah.
and before planes had roofs. Like he was.
But then why would you wear a scarf? Is there not ideal conditions for the scarf to blow away when you're up that high and going
warm,
that fast?
Like.
Yeah, but would it not just blow off?
You wrap it around yourself like
he
that.
Doesn't though. It's one of those things where it's tossed over one shoulder.
Biggles. Well, look,
it's
Biggles.
Flapping while he goes past on his thruppany.
The reason we've heard of Biggles and not all the other pilots, Danny, is because Biggles was charmingly idiosyncratic.
It's Monty Python.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you
no,
know where
Biggles,
Biggles
was
dictates
huge.
A letter? I don't think I'd heard of Biggles before that.
No, really? Why?
Tony, that isn't Graham Chapman Biggles in that sketch, and he's dictating when he's wearing the antlers and he's not when he takes them off.
Oh, yeah.
Silence, Biggles, naughty Biggles? Lady of the night.
I remember the RAF pilots.
Oh.
Sir, Jerry Blighter, Dickie Bird, it pranged his kite right in the house, your father.
I'm afraid I don't understand your banter.
Perhaps you should have said it slower.
Slower banter, sir?
That's one of my all-time favourite Monty Python
yeah,
sketches.
That's a great sketch.
I've had it quite follow you, squadron leader. Cabbage grates coming over the briny.
Let's give us like get the bacon delivered. I remember that was one of them. But,
anyway, John Carney wears
John
a functionless
Carney.
Scarf.
Yeah, he of the former Frame with the functionless scarf.
That's how we know him, all right. That's how he's known around these parts.
After, I believe... Don't Mess with the Zohan or Revenge of the Zohan. What was that thing called?
I was looking it up. It
Don't
was
Fuck with Me.
No, that's a different... Don't Mess with the Zohan was Adam Sandler. It wasn't he Zoltan. It was Simon Delaney was in it.
Yeah, Simon Delaney's in it. Horrible, horrible film.
Is
horrible.
It, yeah?
Oh, really bad.
Is it horrible or is it just... I got Simon Delaney
no,
in
it's
it.
No, it's got a rotten heart is
okay.
what it has.
Okay, that's fine.
And then after that, so that was, he made once, before that he was Bachelor's Walk, wasn't he?
Yeah, so I liked Bachelor's Walk.
But he, that wasn't like once. A solo thing. He had two other lads with him. I liked Once as well, but it's because of the, was it because of the songs? No. I did like Once. I think Marquetta, what's-her-face?
Marquetta Glover.
Kind of made that film, because Glenn Hansard is not a charming screen presence.
Really?
In The Commitments he is, but not I as a sort of a sad-eyed dude in his 40s.
I wonder now. I wonder about
you,
that.
We spoke about this before and we had to cut it out, so...
I don't wonder about that. As demonstrated by having to cut it out the last time. Well, my opinions are firmly planted on that. I wonder whether more people than not would think he was... not a charming screen presence.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe you're right. I just thought he looked like he's just like a sort of sad dude with a beard who just happened to have this amazing voice, you know.
Well, that's...
I don't think the acting is what necessarily sells
Glenn
that.
That's Glenn Hansard, like.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it, like, he's got an album coming out, and I saw the cover of it. And he's like wearing,
sad.
Like, work clothes, like braces and a cap, like, you know, just like... You don't work,
braces,
sir.
Braces, work clothes?
Well, like, you know, they would have been back in the day, because you didn't have a belt.
What, like a chimney sweep?
Yeah, he's dressed like Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins.
Oh my god, wouldn't it be awesome if he did Chim Chimney? Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chimney.
But, he made a movie with Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo.
Everyone knows I like it, Ruffalo.
Begin Again.
I say that every time he comes up.
That's all right. I think people expect it now. He comes up quite a bit. But he's a great actor, Mark Ruffalo.
I really like Mark
Ruffalo.
Did
he really remind you of Wayne Coyne in this film?
Oh my God. Not until you said it.
He looks
an
awful lot like Wayne
Coyne. Now, yeah.
But he plays as sort of a washed up record company executive alcoholic who wanders
partner
into...
Most Deaf.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that guy.
I don't know very much about him.
Neither do I. Let me rephrase that. I like Be Kind, Rewind.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
So he's a washed up record executive who wanders into an open mic one night and hears Keira Knightley singing a song, which frankly isn't that good.
No.
But he loves it. And he tries to sign her. And Keira Knightley in the meantime has been, she's in New York with her boyfriend who is a work clothes wearing musician who got big from having his songs in a film.
It's what's
which
his
is
name?
Weird. He's wearing, at one point he's like dressed exactly like Glenn Hansard with the waistcoat and the boots. Like, you know.
I had to skip back because he's just like a bloke when she's first.
Oh, it's Adam Levine.
It's Adam Levine
from Maroon 5. Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, but he just looks like a bloke like at the start when they arrive in New York and they're like, oh, how you doing? This is where you'll be staying. And then it skips like to like a week later or something. He's got this fucking Errol Flynn mustache.
That's what's
and it's like,
it
I was
is
like, is that the same guy? Is she broken up with the guy she came over with?
It's kind of funny because, yeah, she's with the she moves to New York. They're a pair of songwriters, her and her boyfriend, and she moves to New York because he has got a few songs in a film and he's over there to work. But yeah, every time you see him, it's like a few weeks later or a month later or whatever, and he looks like more and more of a wanker every time you see him. Like, at one point he's got, you know, those hats.
It takes him a while to hit the full
back,
blend,
like,
though.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But fair fucks to him for doing that, because I'm sure it wasn't lost in him that they made him look like a right prick.
Like, I like Adam Levine.
Yeah, he seems like a decent sort, doesn't he?
I mostly like him because of Kidney Now.
What's Kidney Now?
Kidney Now is the... Kidney Now is the benefit that Jack Donaghy throws from Milton... What's his name? Milton Green to get him a new kidney.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
On 30 Rock. It's very, very funny. It's very, very funny. Just give a kidney for a father or a dad.
We have this conversation every week where I say, I must go back and watch 30 Rock again. There's episodes I've seen, like the first season, because I had it on DVD, I've seen it 3 or 4 times. Like, and it's not the best season either.
No, it isn't, no.
Tracy's
good, quite smart.
Yeah, he gets kind of dumber as it goes on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's eventually fucking Homer Simpson by the end of it. Like,
yeah, but also there is a weird thing where he is Homer Simpson, but you also get these glimpses where he knows he's Homer Simpson and he's like,
I
make my money being like
where
this.
Where he pretends he can't read and then the lift door opens
first.
And he's reading the paper.
No, but I mean later on. I mean later on when he's proper stupid and quite a lot of it. You also get these kind of weird bits. Occasionally... I'd have to go back and find them, but occasionally he does have this sort of eye-raising thing where he's like, yeah, I make my money being an idiot. I'm not actually an idiot.
No, it's true. Actually,
there's a bit of a Jewel thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But the reason it's called fucking TGS is because it was the girly show, and then they make her add Tracy Jordan, so it becomes TGS
with Tracy Jordan.
With Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
But so
yeah, let's talk about the fucking film.
No, it's all right. I told you it's not important. But I've got a clip. So this is she plays her song. She's about to go back to London, and her mate James Corden takes her down to his open mic show instead of her being in the house on her own, and she reluctantly gets up and plays one of her tunes. And then Mark Ruffalo says he's going to sign her. So this is a conversation they have about music.
Were you drunk when you heard my song?
Absolutely, babe. That's when the magic happens.
What magic?
I hear things.
Hear things?
Arrangements. You need to be drunk for that sort of thing.
You must have been drunk tonight because nobody else heard anything.
No, your song's good. It's you. Standing up there like a tomboy. And I don't mean to be offensive, but don't you think that looks a little passé?
Really?
Seriously. We get you a look and a killer video and you go straight to the top. I'm thinking Nora Jones, singer-songwriter thing at a piano, or the Cardigans. Back in the day when they first came to America. Maybe even Deborah Harry. Male band behind you. What? You find that amusing?
No, I'm sorry. Something went down the wrong way. Whoa. Sorry? No, you were saying? Me with a cardigan on, Nora Jones?
Hey, babe, who the fuck do you think you are? What, are you going to stand up on a stage with a beat-up guitar and you think you're the new Carole fucking King?
No. I just think that an A&R man telling an artist how they should dress or come across is total bullshit. People don't want that. They want authenticity.
Okay, babe. Authenticity. Give me a name of one artist that you think passes your authenticity test.
Dylan.
That is the most cultivated artist you could have thought of. Look at his hair, his sunglasses. He changes his look every decade.
Randy Newman.
I fucking love Randy Newman. Okay, you got me on that.
No one doesn't like Randy Newman, to be fair.
Yeah, what kind of a pig would I not like Randy Newman? Like?
No one likes us, we don't know why. Do you know that song?
No.
It's Drop the Big One. The very influential thing that came out was the old Grey Whistle Test DVDs for me. Like, a lot of stuff I never really paid attention to before. Like, John Martin and people like that.
But you swapped him once.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. But, like, Randy Newman's on that singing... the song's called Political Science, I think.
Right.
And it's all about America blowing up the rest of the world, essentially. Like, we're going to save Australia. Don't want to hurt no kangaroo. We're building all American amusement park there. They got surfing too. He's brilliant. I don't know a ton of his stuff, but the stuff I know I really like.
Yeah, Randy Newman. I know.
He wrote You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Was that him?
Well, the original, like Tom Jones made it famous, but Randy Newman wrote it. If you listen to the original, it's really slow and it's like, baby, take off your coat. You know, and it's really? Like sort of really laid back. It's like creepy, like, you know.
Isn't it creepy when
it's creepy anyway, but if you put a bit of brass on something and get Tom Jones singing it, it just seems a bit more acceptable instead of a dude on his own with the piano.
Yeah.
Baby, leave you can leave your hat on.
You can leave your hat on.
But
I like that song.
There's this is one of those films where, like, look, I know there's a lot wrong with it, but for some reason I like all those actors. I love Mark Ruffalo is one of my favorite actors. I really like Keira Knightley in this, even though I don't think I've seen her in very much else. Really,
I really like Keira Knightley.
Yeah, so do I.
It used to break my heart when Karen Wood used to give her shit, and I love that he has changed his opinion now.
Well, yeah, but like in stuff like this, like it's like, oh, but I mean, she can act. It's like to say she's a shitty actor is not fair because she's not. Like,
she's
not.
No, she's like
he's
not.
Who's the fucking Twilight dude that he just can't stop banging on about Karen Wood?
The Twilight dude.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, he thinks that guy's amazing.
R. Pats. Yeah. Yeah, he does, yeah.
I'm like, fucking...
And Zac Efron.
Yeah. I mean, who are they?
To be honest with you, I haven't seen Zac Efron in... I literally don't think I've seen Zac
Efron. Well, I haven't seen any of the Twilights, so...
So for Pattinson, yeah. I saw the first two.
So you have seen Zac Efron then, haven't you?
No, he's not in Twilight.
Is he not?
No. Robert Pattinson is in Twilight. Zac Efron's the guy... Efron's the guy from High School Musical.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Neither have I. So I have no opinion one way or the other.
Fucking no use for
but
it.
But
really,
he used to give Keira Knightley a... What did he used to call her?
I don't know, they used to call her Snora or something, or
something like something that. Yeah, I used to break my heart. I didn't like that because I was kind of a fan of Keira Knightley. I like her. Like,
yeah, she's a great actress, and she's believable as a sort of a downtrodden singer songwriter type as well. Like, you know.
Yeah, you don't. She's very, very beautiful. Like, but yeah. She's also. Yeah, you don't. I at no point was I like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. If it was Scarlett Johansson or someone, you'd be like, oh, fuck off. You know.
I don't mind Scarlett Johansson either.
Neither do I, but you wouldn't buy her in that role, you know.
Maybe. Wasn't she Vicky Cristina Barcelona? Wasn't she kind of a wandering
thing? I have to jettison Woody Allen. This stuff is looking more and more like it's. I can't. Use him as an influencer, reference him anymore.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona, you can use him as an influencer.
No, he's done. Gone.
No, you have to.
History.
Fucking, what's his name? Birth of a Nation fucking invented the fucking language of modern cinema. You can't just say, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Because no. He was a racist.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I'm not going to watch any more of his films.
No, neither am I.
I can't. Like, how could... And you won Rebecca Hall, who's in... Vicky Cristina Barcelona. She's did a bit part in whatever film he's got coming out next week or whatever, like, right, you know, yeah. And he's got another one the week after probably, like, you know, but yeah. She's like sitting out, coming out now saying, oh, why did I do it? And she's donating the money she made to charity, like, you know, she's just like, she's sick with herself that she even did it, like, you know.
I wouldn't, why? As news, have new stuff
it coming seems
out.
To be, it, there seems to be a lot of people owning up to it now, not owning up to it, but being like, oh, you know what, fuck Woody Allen. Like, there's a lot of people coming out saying that now, and I just wonder, something must have happened for it to sort of bubble up again.
Or is there an element of the witch hunt about it?
Well, is it, yeah. See, oh, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Anyway, we'll talk about something. I don't really want to get into it.
Okay,
but
okay.
I was just thinking, yeah, I don't, did Woody Allen even come up? What was I doing? Oh, Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, yeah,
Which is a wet dream of a film, if ever there was one.
It might slightly be, but I thought Penelope Cruz was very good in it.
Yeah, yeah. But all the actors are good in it, you know?
Yeah, but I thought but Penelope Cruz was actors. The only thing worth watching in it, like.
Yeah, okay.
And sadly, she's only in about a quarter of the film, like. It really fucking drags until she arrives. And then she disappears. Like,
but she's just mad for 20 minutes and then she disappears.
Yeah, it's just like, and just suddenly, oh, something's happening in the film. Oh, now it's finished happening. But the film's not over. But anyway, listen, that was Vicky Cristina Barcelona for me. I put it to you, Danny.
I put it to me, man.
That for this film to really properly have worked, it needed better songs.
Well, I think that's one of the things that actually kind of helps it because, like... She's just a songwriter. She's not... I don't think the film's not trying to paint her to be some kind of a genius or anything. Like, it's just that she writes a few decent songs and she looks good on stage. Like, and... You know, I don't think... I don't think the idea was that she was, like, some genius, you know?
I think there is...
It was just these... You know, it's like two people that kind of fucking needed something to do, almost, like, you know?
I don't know that that's true.
That's the way I kind of took it.
It can happen. If you look at King of Comedy... When Robert De Niro comes out at the end and does his routine. And it's just... It's like, all right. And you kind of realise that you've been taken for a ride through that film. And really, the only thing that could even arguably justify everything that has happened up to that point is if he was brilliant and he's just not.
Does that ending ruin King of Comedy for you?
No, it makes it.
Okay.
But I don't think that's what was happening here. I don't think you were supposed to think, oh, they were just two people down on their luck and this is how they...
But it... Do you not think by the end of the film it kind of gives them this spring in their step that neither of them had at the start of it, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, at the end of the film, they end up putting the record out themselves on the internet. Spoilers, Frank. But,
sorry, Frank.
But well, let's just take one of those tunes and give it a listen. I don't know if it's because of I like the film so much, but I actually do like some of these songs. But I think it's about context. If I just heard them individually, I might not like them so much.
A lot of people criticize Once for Glenn Hansard's kind of whiny balladeering, which I don't think is fair because I like a lot of the songs in Once.
I didn't like them until I saw the film. I saw him perform those songs live before I saw the film, which should, in the town hall in Galway, which should be ideal circumstances, and I didn't like it at all. It was only when he came out on his own for three or four songs and did a few Frames tunes, I was like, oh, thank Christ. You know?
No, I did. No, I saw him in the Spirit Store doing stuff with her before saw him once, and I really liked it.
Oh, man, I didn't like it at all. And they did that giant Daniel Johnston song. That even Andrea Corr has a fucking stab at it. Like, what is the name of the song?
Why shouldn't Andrea Corr
have a stab at it? Your picture is still on my wall. You know that song?
No.
That's a pretty good Daniel Johnston impression.
Though. It was. Fair fucks.
Oh, like,
the only way you could have done it better if you could have tacked a little old woman with a fucking bar.
I would have just made it.
But, I feel like everyone did a fucking cover of that song at some point, like, and that was, they did that song that night, and it was just like, oh god,
three a box
to do a Citroen Nutter version of this fucking song after the ultimate version is fucking Daniel Johnston, obviously. But this is
obviously,
this is the tune called Coming Up Roses from the Begin Again soundtrack. And again, don't know if I would have liked it if I'd heard it in and of itself, but sure, isn't context everything. When you were asleep and I was out walking, the voices started to speak, and they wouldn't stop talking. There were signs all around. It really got my mind racing. You were right all along. Something's gotta change. So that's Coming Up Roses, and that's Keira singing, Keira Knightley with a K.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. Look, is it Randy Newman? Heavens, no.
Heavens,
but
don't,
very few things are. You know. Most things fucking settle in the middle. There's way up there and there's way down here, and then most things are in the middle, you know, 90%.
By Jesus, the music in this film is, well, I feel bad saying that, because when people said that about Once, I got quite defensive about it, but I really feel quite strongly this needed stronger songs.
I don't think
work for me.
I know that song, the both, like, the two songs that were biggest in Once is fucking Falling Slowly and When Your Mind's Made Up. They're both Frame songs. Like, Falling Slowly came out as a Frame song first. And I prefer that version of it as well, like, you know.
I like
No, I don't like the music in Once. In context, it's alright, like, you know. But that one where she like those sad ones she plays on the piano, man, I've got no time for that at all.
Look,
like, you know,
I feel
I'd like the film, but I didn't.
I feel uncomfortable saying it because it is the exact argument people used against Once, and but I really do feel like it needed stronger songs.
I don't know, because it's more of its time. Like, then Once was a little bit sort of out of time. I felt like this was more about those kind of songwriters that, you know, like, that's the kind of shite that people are peddling in New York in these open mic nights.
You can't,
like,
make,
you know,
a fucking musical and say, well, we had it to save
it's
time
not a
to
musical,
cut the
though.
Songs.
It's a film about musicians.
Touch,
it's not
a
musical.
Touch, and the music is a big part of it.
Well, it's a film about music, but I don't think it's a musical.
Was Once a musical?
I feel like the well, I don't know.
The answer is yes, it was a musical.
I don't think it's the same thing. Like, those songs aren't further in the plot or anything. It's not like, let's tell you what's happening now. We met 2 months ago when, you know, it's not like that, you know.
But those songs and musicals don't have to further
the
plot.
They are. What do I think of the pie? What do I think of the pie?
What's that?
It's in The Simpsons, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I can't remember the episode, but Homer starts singing a song about pie, and it looks like it's going to be a musical number. It's one of those The Simpsons Go on Holiday episodes. It looks like it's going to be a musical number, and then Homer and the kids disappear around the corner singing, and the sound fades away, and Marge is still sitting at the table at the outside cafe that they're at, and she just goes, I'm on vacation.
Okay. I don't know. There was a lot...
Do you know the studio they go into? Electric Lady Studios. That's where Cat's sister worked.
Oh, and was it the actual studio?
That, yeah, it's the same studio. We got it. We were in there one night having a look around.
Hmm.
So, everyone's recorded there. Hendrix, The Clash, David Bowie, U2, Beck, all these fucking people. Courtney Barnett, Patti Smith, Ryan Adams, like fucking anyone you can mention is recorded. Very impressive. In there. But you can, it's one of those things, you do kind of feel it when you're in there. You're like, fuck, yeah, this seems about right, you know.
I'm not sure how much I like those people in this film either.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Mark Ruffalo. He's a charming screen presence. I like all those actors. I like Catherine Keener. I like Mark Ruffalo. I like Keira Knightley.
Oh, I love Catherine Keener.
I love that bit when his daughter plays the guitar solo.
Yeah?
From True Grit. Is that her, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Jeez, you think you would have given her a slightly bigger part, wouldn't you?
Well, she's only a young
Carney. Timothy came out after this and said that
a big part.
He made that movie Sing Street, and someone had asked him what was it like being back in Ireland making a film with Irish actors again, and he was like, oh yeah, it beats dealing with fucking supermodels, you know, and with their entourage like I had to do on my previous film. And like all these actors started, you know, it was a dig at Keira Knightley, and all these actors and people who'd worked on that film started tweeting going, what are you talking about? Like, she was perfectly nice. Like, you know, she didn't have an entourage. Like, you know, she worked hard learning all those tunes. Like,
that doesn't surprise you about that. Yeah, he does seem like the exact word that you mouthed to me.
I'm trying not to. I'm tiptoeing around it, but it's weird. I feel like, particularly in Sing Street, but a little bit in Once, and fucking, it's overflowing in that fucking Alien film that he made. There's a level of smarm in his stuff that is unacceptable. Like,
it has been there since the bitter, bitter start.
Yeah, the bitter stuff. Usually people don't get bitter till the end, but...
Oh, he started out strong.
But it's like, I feel like Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo and Catherine Keener and the girl from True Grit and fucking James Corden, to be fair to him, I feel like they kind of temper that. Like, yeah, I don't find smarm in this film, but I think... I don't think that's for any lack of trying on his part.
I find it now. Where? I don't think you had it that deep.
Where?
The whole attitude.
What attitude?
Their attitude.
To what?
To music and life.
In what sense? Clarity.
Clarify myself. You've put me on the spot now.
No, Claritin. I'm feeling getting my itchy nose.
It's... like there's a scene in it where Adam Levine
sorry,
Keira Knightley discovers Adam Levine is cheating on him because he plays her a new song he's written.
That's a terrible scene,
and she knows instinctively that song is not about her.
That's on him, though. Like, why would you do that? I got inspired while I was away and I wrote this love song.
Because why wouldn't you do that? Because the film is coding itself to say, you know what, she understands music so much more deeply. She can tell this stuff by listening. And the reason it's doing that is because fucking Carney thinks he understands music so much more deeply. But he can tell. He knows. He can see the true heart. Oh, yes, yeah, I can. Don't worry about it. Then I'll make other films about people like me. Wankers. Walking around New York.
He doesn't have that scar for nothing, you know.
There is a smugness inherent in this film. It is inherent in all his stuff, but it is not absent.
But
from
I
this
feel
film.
Like. I don't know
and
if they're.
It does not surprise me for a second that he would go and attack his co-workers like that.
I feel like those actors.
He is a prick.
I feel like those actors are doing everything they can to stamp it out.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make it clear. I don't know him. Maybe he's a lovely man. Maybe he rescues fucking orphans from burning buildings.
There's only so many orphans in burning buildings. All these people can't be rescuing
it's
them.
It's my go-to image for nice guy. I don't know why.
Well, you'd like to think that you didn't have to go to that extent. Like, you know, maybe just not swearing in polite company or holding doors open.
I do hold doors open.
Yeah, so do I.
But I do swear in polite company.
Yeah, so do I.
But I think that's on fucking...
I remember calling a friend of mine a cunt in front of his mother when I was about 20.
Listen, it does not surprise me that he would attack a co-worker like that.
But like
nobody else seemed to have
literally
a problem
like
with,
because
everybody
the
smugness
else is
and pretentiousness is there.
Okay, fair enough. Like,
it's inherent in him.
But yeah,
anytime in Bachelor's Walk, the characters went outside of Dublin.
Oh
they
yeah.
were just
oh yeah
dealing with toothless fools.
Wasn't it so insulting? Didn't they go to Donegal or somewhere? And like literally the only people they encounter are old men.
They stopped in a shop in Meath, the other side of the M50. And a fella wouldn't sell your man fucking booze because the Angelus was on.
Such a lot of shite.
It is.
It's a funny show. But yeah, it was literally like anyone who didn't live in Dublin was a ding dong.
Yeah, certainly was. My words exactly. The Mojus down. Ding dong.
I can't get away from that with him. And this was a thing about characters like that.
Okay, but I felt like these actors knew that and they were doing their best to stamp it out.
Maybe that's why you didn't get on with Keira Knightley. Maybe she was like, I'm trying to fucking rein this back in here, John.
You're
making this a fucking mockery.
And it's not like every character has to be likable. It's not like she's like, you think, particularly Mark Ruffalo, it's not like he's perfect. Like, he's hammered for most of the film.
Jesus Christ, he's not perfect, no.
He's like...
I didn't have a problem with that. Like, he was an asshole. But that's alright, that's allowed.
But was he an asshole or was he just having a hard time?
Yeah, he does pull the twist where it turns out, spoilers, Frank, that that he was maybe perhaps more sinned against than sinning.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how sinned against than sinning he was. I don't like think of smoking a joint and then picking your daughter up from school driving like is
well,
necessarily.
He's going off the rails a little bit, you know.
He is, yeah.
I mean, it happens. Sure, look, you know?
Yeah, we've all been there. I've been there. But it's
the thing with Adam Levine I thought was quite funny though as well, that what's his album called On the Road.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it worked for Kerouac, or you know, because I knew, I think it was three separate musicians I knew in Galway who all made albums called The Voyage, and all of the covers of those albums were them like sitting on a rock out in Salt Hill looking out into the horizon, and it's just like, those guys exist, and that's the height of their imagination. Like, you know,
sitting on a rock in Salt Hill is very much the early stages of a voyage, more than in fact.
Well, maybe you've just gotten back, and you're like, "What a voyage!" I think I'll just sit here and fucking play a wee tune on my lap steel while I gather myself.
Sure, they'd be sitting on the rock looking inland if that was the case. Oh, solid ground. Finally.
But it was one of those things where it's like, that's what everyone thought you did to make yourself sound mystical. And, you know, like, and it's just like, it was one of those things. It's like, what a crippling lack of imagination. I wonder, does the music contained herein have the same fucking, you know, complete absence of joy about it? Like, you know.
Does Carney not suffer from a crippling lack of imagination?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all his films are the same, except the Alien one, which is just, like, repulsive.
That's the choice you have in front of you, John.
Basically, like,
to say it, repetitive or shite. You're absolutely right. Do repetitive, John. I take it all back, John. Do repetitive. Keep doing the same
shit. But this is great. I love this film, but I don't consider it to be his film. I feel like it was kind of taken off him a little bit, and I think that's probably why he was. And then he went and made Sing Street. I know everybody loved fucking Sing Street. I didn't like it at all.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, missing a whole lot.
Kermode played a clip of it where the older brother was giving a lecture on music.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, oh, it's that again.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll get it into it. Everybody says it's brilliant apart from you, apparently.
No,
so
I didn't like
you.
It at all.
There you go. I probably will still get around to it at some stage, but I've just had basically, all bar one day, 3 weeks off, and I didn't get fucking around to it in that. Like,
if you really wanted to, I think you would have watched it by now.
I watched 3 seasons of Yes Minister and 2 seasons of Yes Prime Minister, and I didn't get around to Sing Street.
I've never seen that show.
I was half going to swap you an episode, because there's one episode in the middle of it that I had no recollection. I've seen it all before a million times, but there was one episode in the middle of it that I had no recollection of, and I really feel like if I'd seen it before, I would recollection.
So you know what I've been watching?
It was just that wee bit darker. And it
maybe
was a
we
bit
can, thick. Actually, yeah. Jesus. What I've been watching is, I've seen it before, but they put it up on Netflix, is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Oh, yeah, I've
where
seen
I'm doing,
those.
Like, I have about 20 minutes when I eat my breakfast in the morning before I go to work, and that's what I do with that 20 minutes.
Just watch
I watch, like, him talking to fucking Mel Brooks or whoever, like, you know.
Was Mel Brooks on it?
Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner are on the same episode, yeah.
Ah.
They're a fucking charming pair of dudes.
Mel Brooks is lovely. I like his son, too.
Is that Max Brooks? Mm. Didn't he write the zombie book or something like that?
He did. I never read the book. I watched the film.
What's the film?
World War Z.
Do you mind if I take a quick clip of this?
of World War Z.
Yeah, just I just happen to have it with me.
Yeah, go on.
Because this is the thing, like the big plot in this film kind of is that they're going to record all the music outside.
Mm.
So I'm just going to play a clip of that because I have it. Go just to it. Give people a bit of context of the film, because I feel like not that many people have seen it.
It was a bit rainbows and unicorns now, that whole idea. Like,
yeah, yeah. And it is not... Like, you could have done the film without it. Like, it didn't... Yeah. I don't think it... It was supposed to be this big concept that... because Mark Ruffalo is supposed to be this genius record producer that came up with these great big concepts back in the day. I wonder, is that a little bit like Wayne Coyne as well? You know, when they do the... Have you ever seen the Flaming Lips documentary where they do the...
We swapped it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Sayreka.
The parking lot experiments, yeah, where they play all the have all these tapes going at the same time. But his big idea is that
I love the Lips.
Oh yeah, I was watching a thing about the Soft Bulletin before I came over.
It's like a great album.
Oh, it's brilliant. I was almost going to swap it for next week, but
the Soft Bulletin.
Yeah, but we'll
swap it from now. We're still recording after this.
Just drop everything else and start talking about the Soft Bulletin.
Yeah, okay, go on.
But here's another clip from this film, just to give people a bit of context, because I don't think many people have seen it.
No.
I've been thinking, why do we even need to rent a fucking studio?
Because you need a desk and live room and soundproofing.
Laptop, Pro Tools, a couple dynamic mics, and the city is our fucking live room.
You mean record outside?
That's right.
Like where?
Everywhere. Fuck him. We don't need a demo. Let's record an album. Every song we do in a different location, right? All over New York City. And we do it through the summer. And it becomes this tribute to this beautiful, goddamn, crazy, fractured mess of a city, New York.
Okay, like under the bridge in the Lower East Side.
Top of the Empire State Building.
Rowing boats in the lake in Central Park.
Chinatown. Cathedral of St. John the Vine, okay? In the subway, fucking Harlem, everywhere, okay?
Okay, so what happens if it starts raining?
Whatever happens, we record it.
If we get arrested?
Keep rolling. It'll be beautiful.
You like it?
What do you think?
It's good. It's good. Come
on.
Can
you produce it?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I haven't produced in a long time. We'll get somebody young to produce.
No, but I want you to do it.
Why?
Because I do.
It's just a wee clip. It didn't really have anything to do with what we were talking about. But like I say, I feel like not that many people really have seen this film.
It's also bullshit.
It's got, yeah, it's... Well, I mean, they managed to finish it, I suppose. And the mad thing is, though, that she plays that song at the start of the film that he loves, and when they're making the album, they don't seem to record it. You never hear it again, like, you know.
I thought it was a bit over the top when he starts seeing the instruments play by themselves.
I kind of like that. But there's a scene in the film where Keira Knightley's playing on an open mic night, and she's playing this song, and no one's really listening to her, but Mark Ruffalo's standing at the bar watching, and there's all these instruments on the stage behind her, and he starts imagining the instruments all playing. So the piano starts playing itself, and all that really said to me was like that it's like it would take that many instruments to make this song sound good, you know. You know,
maybe so, yeah, maybe we can cover up the song.
You can arrange your way out of a lot, like, you know, if you've got all these instruments, like, you know.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. I felt I
enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Although I was sitting here of a Saturday night on my own watching quite a romantic love story, and I remember thinking, this is something's wrong here.
What do you mean?
Just like I feel like,
what romantic love story were you watching?
This one, Begin Again.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, that actually can't be, like, is there something? Yeah, I felt that I got suddenly self-conscious watching it.
Why?
Just, I feel like if I was watching some sort of film steeped in fucking machismo and fucking rugged individualism, you know, Rambo or something, that'd be grand. But not like a romance.
I didn't really feel like it was... I thought it was more romantic about music than it was about any of the people in it. Like,
well, it was romantic.
That bit where the fucking daughter plays that guitar solo, man, I nearly started crying watching that. Like, you know, because she just fucking busts it out of nowhere. And it's not even like it's not even like it's like technically amazing, but it just sort of, she just busts it out of nowhere, and it's like, you know,
were they all playing?
No. I mean, if you look at some of those clips, Keira Knightley's got a rake of harmonies on there. There's no one else singing there. Like, you know, it's not it didn't sound live. It sounded too polished to be live. You know, that's.
But was it them?
Well, I think it's Keira Knightley singing.
Hmm.
I don't know if she's playing the guitar or if anyone else there is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Although the drummer and the bass player looked pretty authentic.
Mm. And it was, what's his name, playing Trouble Gum?
Is that CeeLo Green?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's him.
But
playing Biggie Smalls, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, I like that scene because they don't make a big deal out of it, but earlier on in the film, they kind of say that the parents have a conversation about it with the guitar, because Keira Knightley just says, well, bring your guitar and play him a song. Mm-hmm. And they have this little conversation, like you would do about your teenage son or daughter, where you'd be like, but they're not very good. Like, are you sure you want them on the... You know, they don't make a huge deal out of it, but then she just kind of does it. And it's like, it's not that it's an amazing solo, but it's got a real good feel to it. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if a teenager played it.
It's nice, yeah. It was a nice moment. I liked it, yeah. I felt sorry for James Corden's character.
He's lucky to be in this film.
He is. Well, he's lucky to be anywhere.
Yeah. That's an James annoying Gordon. Fucking man. Like
James Corden?
Yeah.
In real life.
But all this business of him singing in the car with all these...
Yeah.
Carpool, karaoke. Can't stand it. Can't stand any of those talk shows, really. Like, you know.
Ah, yeah.
Particularly the ones that think they're kind of silly, like fucking... What's his face? Fallon.
I remember the
celebrity fucking mime lip sync battles, whatever the fuck that is. It's like, why am I watching this?
I haven't come across my. I watched like a couple of different interviews, and he was
Jimmy Fallon, or
yeah, Jimmy Fallon, and he was. I just like.
I was kind of into his impressions for a while, like, his music impressions, but
he doesn't even young, doesn't he?
He doesn't even young. There's Dylan as well. Tells and tells the days and the nights.
Well, look, Corden didn't, you know, turn me one way or the other in this film, but I remember thinking the character plays a very nice character. Good friend to Keira Knightley. I remember thinking, what does he think he's going to get out of this? Like, he can't realistically think she's going to be like, yeah, all right.
But I don't think he's Jimmy's
bones. There's a lot of fucking lounging around on couches in the middle of the night.
But that whole... It kind of takes place in the space of a couple of weeks, though, doesn't it?
Hard not to... Keira Knightley was fucking laying on the couch with me every night for 2 weeks. No matter how much a gentleman I was determined to be. I'm not in command of the thoughts slip. That... No, I actually don't believe the mask would slip. I think I would hold the mask quite firmly in place. But I would not be in charge of the thoughts that would rise in the back of my head. Like,
yeah, but nobody's in charge of those thoughts. Yeah, but like that's not... That's not the measure of what kind of person you are. The measure is how you deal with those thoughts and what you do with them.
I was contacted by somebody last night.
Are you like by phone or by through the cosmos, like, or
Facebook Messenger?
It sounds more like this is going to be some kind of sci-fi thing.
No, it's Facebook Messenger. who had been out with some people and had been slagged about a time that I had been out with her, and. It was actually at a do. Yeah, in a hotel. She was staying.
This was the time you were out with her. Was at the do, or she was at a do when she messaged you?
The time I was out with her was at the do.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's good to tell the story. Well, yeah, it's not. It's grand. She messaged me. People had been slagging her about stuff that we had done. Now, what happened was we were both absolutely pissed out of our minds, and we were the last ones to leave. And she could hardly stand, and to be 110%, I was only a couple of fucking steps above her. So I fucking walked her back. I sort of was fucking linked and walked her back to her hotel room. And that's what I did. I did walk her back to her hotel room. And she was like, what happened that night? And I was like, I walked you back to your hotel room. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, thank God, they're all slagging me. And I was afraid, like... And I was like, no, it's grand. No, it was grand. Here's the thing. While I was walking her back to get to her hotel room, we had to pass my hotel room. And despite the fact that this was like 6:30 in the morning, solid fucking residence bar drinking, as we came to my room, I don't know whether she remembers it.
What did you do?
Well, I certainly didn't volunteer it last night. But... I stopped and I was like, this is my room.
you can crash here if you like. She was like, my room's up here. And I was like, okay. And then I walked her onto her room.
That's not
But
anything.
The thought...
Of course it was.
Seeped up.
Yeah, of course it did. If you're two single people at a thing and you're both left alone late at night, of course the fucking thought's going to seep up.
So that was seeping through James Corden's head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... It wasn't a huge part of the film. And I think the idea was that he was never in that apartment, really. Like, he was, like... The thing that I know, like, just from knowing a few people that live in that city, you're never at home. You're always, in, like, anything you want to do. Like, because to afford to live in that city, you have to live way outside it. So, you come home to sleep, and that's literally all you do in your house. Oh, you're out all day, like, you know, whatever. You fucking take a change of clothes to work with you, and you fucking change into those clothes, and you head out, and you go to your open mic, or whatever it is you're doing, like, you know.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Was there anything... well, there was something else I wanted to say about it. Something else I wanted to bitch about.
I like that scene where they go around with the little thing with the... this is why I thought it was kind of a love letter to music. Like, you know, they walk around with the iPod with the splitter.
The splitter,
on,
yeah.
And that they walk around... Nice, and they're listening to their, like... they do that whole thing. You can tell a lot about a person by their playlists or whatever, like, which is kind of... It's a nice idea that they're, like, listening to her, like... embarrassing playlist, like, you know, the stuff that she likes, but she's not, like, at the start of the film she's fucking going on about Randy Newman, and then later on in the film they're like, you know, I can't remember anything too bad being on that thing.
I, funny enough, when it came to that bit, I took out my phone and opened up Spotify and went to my Daily Mix just to see, just in case.
Do you know what, just as a test, I wonder what my Daily Mix is.
I'll get mine.
Yeah, go for it. I'm gonna have a look. Niall is going to get his phone. So what, Spotify make you a Daily Mix based on what you listen to?
Yeah.
Alright, I didn't know you could do that. Let's have a look here. Oh, mine are so fucking obvious. Here we go.
Go on.
So I've got Blondie, John Lennon, Lou Reed, Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, The Small Faces, The Velvet Underground, Paul McCartney, The Who, Tom Petty, Neil Young.
My phone won't open. So there we go.
Oh, no.
But I did look at it last night.
The Allman Brothers. Never listened to the Allman Brothers in my fucking life.
Who are the Allman Brothers? Is that like almond as in almond?
A-L-L-M-A-N.
Like marzipan.
Oh, fucking Can is in my fucking Daily Mix. That's pretty cool.
Who's Can?
They're like... the Can are Can Chinese?
What?
The Chinese jam band. That's pretty cool. And then I see I've got it. Right. You can see that they're divided up into... I've got three Daily Mixes.
Okay.
There's one that's kind of like, you can tell it's all stuff that I heard Tom Sharpling talking about, because it's like a giant dog, Ty Siegel, Kurt Vile, Destroyer. And then my third mix is Ash, Oasis, Badly Drawn Boy, Cooler Shaker, Travis, The Jesus and Mary Chain. Yeah. It's pretty fucking, yeah. Spotify kind of has my number.
The third mix there sounded like the only one of those I would be listening to.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Bob Dylan and Neil Young and...
Why? Who was the...
That was like my first mix. Did you not hear me read it out?
I was getting my phone and then the pattern wasn't working, which happens sometimes with this phone and I have to restart it.
Oh yeah, that happens in my phone all the time.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Yeah. But,
I can't remember now who was on my mix, but so it doesn't really matter. But,
I also don't listen to all my music through Spotify, and the playlist is somewhat tainted by the fact that I had to learn a load of pub standards because I had a gig last night, so there's a lot of Ed Sheeran going on at the minute, like, you know.
The Red Rose Cafe.
Yeah.
A lot of Ed Sheeran and the Fury Brothers in there.
Yeah, and fucking...
He was on Pat Kenny lately, a few months back.
Who was Ed Sheeran?
No,
The Fury Brothers.
Not Fury.
There hasn't he completely... Isn't his shoulder essentially like liquid at this point from playing the pipes? Like,
he is... He got old, man.
Oh, yeah, but he... Of course, yeah, but was he ever young?
I wasn't expecting him to get that old.
He was singing Sweet 16 when he was fucking 50 or something.
Was he that old then?
I don't know, probably not.
When?
I love you.
I play that a bit on the guitar.
You know what? I don't know.
Now that I'm thinking.
I don't know that stuff very well, the Furies.
Oh, I like...
We weren't a trad house at all. My dad often referred to it as diddly eye shite, which isn't fair. Now I like that music more than I did back then, but I didn't grow up with it.
Leaving Nancy and Sweet 16 and...
Isn't Sweet 16's an Al Jolson song? Did you know that?
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the original. Well, the first version of it, I think, is Al Jolson. It sounds like it's an Irish song, but it's not.
Well, he does that a lot, I think, Fury.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, he's like that What If the Beatles Were Irish guy. You can make anything sound Irish.
Yeah, especially if you put the pipes on it or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I saw him on something a few years ago where he was saying like his shoulder is basically non-existent now from the pipes, like, you know.
God love him.
Well, I mean,
poor old Finbar.
Suffered for his art, you know.
Yeah, no, fair play. Oh, I wasn't sneering. I like Finbar Fury a lot.
I think Planxty is my where I would go to with all that kind of stuff.
Planxty is great.
Because it's kind of... It's trad, but it's kind of cool as well. Like, the lads look like they could have been in, like, you know, Yes or something. Like, you know.
what did Billy Connolly say about Christy Moore?
He looked like a gravedigger that didn't need a shovel.
Yeah.
But, anyway. Actually, that scene where they're walking around when they have the splitter and they listen to each other's playlist, that song came on for once in my life. I had to learn that for a wedding and it bent my brain. It was so complicated. It's a really complicated song to I think it's a little bit more not like
that's,
people laugh at me for this theory. I've brought this up before and people fucking sneer and I think it's fact that a lot of Stevie Wonder songs are in flat keys. Because as a blind child, when he was learning how to play the piano, all the fucking black keys are the sharps and the flats, and I think they were the keys he could find and make chords out of, because he couldn't see the white keys. Obviously, he could, you know, it's almost like Braille. You can feel where the black keys are.
Oh, that's interesting.
So all of his songs are in this, these are in like E flat. And,
oh my God, that's
E, you know,
very,
like,
very interesting.
So I think that's why they're so difficult to transpose onto the guitar. It's because they're all in awkward fuck keys. I brought that up with some musician friends of mine and was sneered at, but I absolutely think it's the case.
Well, no, it's an interesting theory, though.
But but it means that yes, that song was really hard to learn. There's really fucking complicated chords in it, like, and I was like cramming for a test. I knew it for as long as we had to do the. It was the opening dance at a wedding we played, and we played it and instantly fucking forgot it. Like, I think we had to play it at the end of the night again, and I couldn't remember it. Like, you know,
it's an interesting one for an opening dance.
My friend Shane Toman, who I'm sure doesn't listen to this podcast, had Weezer by Buddy Holly as his opening dance.
Buddy Holly by Weezer.
Buddy Holly by Weezer. Even. This whiskey is kicking in.
What is it?
And then a friend of mine, my friend Jenny, told me she is in a wedding band. Her and her fiancé have a wedding band called Fraggle Rock. If you're looking at big weddings in Galway.
To be in a wedding band with her fiancé.
I know, it's weird, yeah. They've been fiancés for about 7 or 8 years at this point.
How long have they been a band?
Longer, I think.
Okay, fair play.
I don't know that for sure.
Well, I often heard it said by my father and my mother.
What?
Going to a wedding was the makings of another.
What's that?
So, well, I often heard it said... Yeah, made in the garret. My Auntie Rosalie.
That's a pull.
No, my Auntie Rosalie used to sing it. It was still that sort of family.
Your
parties.
Family are all performing. Remember being at your 20... Was it your 21st that we went to from college?
Yeah.
And your family are all performers. Everyone has a song. Like,
well,
you know,
everybody would have a song, yeah.
That's not... My family's not like that.
But Rosalie used to sing... There is this line at the end of Old Maid in the Garret. If I can't get a man, well, I'll surely get a parrot. But Rosalie used to... When I was a kid, it went over my head when I was a kid, but Rosalie used to sing, if I can't get a man, well, I'll surely get a carrot.
That's very kids.
And everybody
blew up.
Yeah. But none of the kids, none of us got it. Like, so it would be like, whoo, from all my uncles.
That's
like,
hilarious.
And, anyway,
but,
yeah.
What was I talking? Oh, yeah, Jenny said that she played a wedding and people that were getting married were about the same age as her, like, at the time, so like early 30s or whatever, and they picked this song by The Cure. I can't remember what tune it was by The Cure as their first dance, and she said that they came out on the dance floor and they tried to dance to it together like you would do to a first dance, but eventually because of the song it was, they eventually split off from each other and were kind of standing, sort of nodding their heads, like, you know, those goth kids do on their own, like, you know. So it's kind of, she said it was really nice, like, you know, because it was like, they tried to dance to it like it was a real wedding song, and it was like, by the end of it, they're just kind of nodding their heads to it, like, you know. And then everyone else in the dance floor was kind of doing the same thing, you know.
Okay, well, yeah, that's allowed. Listen,
like the goth dance in South
Park. I wonder
Park.
How much you can tell from somebody by their first dance. It's a bit... It's a very personal thing, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, I wonder, it's a bit of a performance as well. Like.
But you don't really get to choose what your song is either, like, you know.
Do you not?
Not really.
Of course
no,
you do.
No, you don't.
What?
Because, like, when I hear that song, Budapest, you know that George Ezra song?
No.
My Last in Budapest. Do you know that song?
No.
I'd give it all.
No.
Really? You don't know the fucking song Budapest?
No.
Well, it was like a fucking Mumford wannabe kind of dude. Like, you know, I don't think he's done anything since. And it was just on the radio a lot when Kat was living in Skerries. And every time I hear that song, I think of, like, the early days of us, like, our relationship, because it was just on all the time. I don't think it's a great, magnificent piece of songwriting or anything, but it was just on a lot, like, you know.
So that's what you mean, it gets picked for you by circumstance.
Exactly, circumstance.
That's interesting. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, like, songs that remind you of being young aren't necessarily songs you like. Like, if I hear Stay Another Day by E17, I'm like, oh god, the Marist and the Glen and all that shit, like, you know.
Yeah, I think if it ever comes to it, then I'll be dancing to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I used to think that was a good song. Anyway,
we're at 1 in 10 now. So,
oh, okay, so that's all I really have to say about Begin Again. Anything else from you?
I think it's a little smug, Danny.
Well, what I'm going to do is...
stumbles through just about.
I don't agree with you, but we're going to...
It needs better songs.
I still don't agree with you. I think the songs are exactly as good as they need to be. Like,
and whatever James Corden's character made out like he was rubbing himself fucking raw in the audience.
That is his right. Whatever he does when everyone's out of the house is his own business. Like, as long as he's not... annoying anybody else with it, like, you know. To break this up, Niall, before we jump into the other thing, I'm going to play another bit of a song from
Which
this
song?
This is one called Tell Me If You Want to Go Home, Keira Knightley on vocals.
Oh, I know that one. That one. I want to go to bed.
Yes, I don't think it's the same song. That's more of a shanty.
I love that. It's a shanty. Is there an actual definition for a shanty?
A song sung predominantly by sailors, which brings us nicely on to the next thing.
Oh yeah,
so let's have a quick blast of this and then we'll jump on to the next thing we're going to talk about.
Oh, let's blast it. Just tell me the one thing you never told me, then let go of me. He'll just throw me. Maybe if you wanna go home, tell me if I'm back on my own, giving back a heart that's on loan. Just tell me if you wanna go home. Oh, maybe you don't have to kill so kind.
Alright, that's a wee bit of Tell Me If You Wanna Go Home from the movie Begin Again. You'll never hear those songs ever again, will you?
Nope. Sorry, John. Be less of a prick next time and you never know what might happen.
You got me to watch Tintin.
Yeah, by two men who aren't pricks. Well, Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson.
We don't know that. I'd say Steven Spielberg has his moments, man. No, you don't get that powerful without acting the prick sometimes.
I don't know about that now.
You don't get that powerful.
Of the two of them, I would say he's the least prickish.
Really? No, I would say Peter Jackson.
Why?
I can envision, particularly on something like Jaws when that shark wasn't working, I definitely imagine a few shark-related tantrums from that fucking baby. He seems like a bit of a baby.
What?
He does.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Seems like he's had it his own way for too long. Like, if the coffee wasn't hot enough or whatever, he'd spill it over someone's head. I bet you. I'd say there's stories.
I would be very surprised if that
was. He was very young when he got very, very respected, and I'd say there's a touch of the Fauntleroy about him.
I'm very surprised, and it certainly doesn't come across in this wonderful film, The Adventures of Tintin, The Secret of the Unicorn.
Do you want to try and explain the plot?
Not really. I don't relish it.
It's all over the fucking place.
It's three books smooshed together.
What a great idea.
Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish.
But do you not know, I was looking at the back of the DVD, right? Yeah. And it's Stephen Moffat and the word and then Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish. But between Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish is the symbol and.
The ampersand.
So is it a thing where they had written a script and then Spielberg, tantrum again, no. Was like, this fucking thing, it stinks. Get that fucking guy who's annoying all the Doctor Who fans in to fix it.
I know the story behind this. If
you know, reading it on the internet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how do you know it?
Stephen wasn't on the phone to be like, hey, this is the other way he's treating me.
It's, no, Edgar Wright, they offered it to Edgar Wright first, but he was doing something else.
Right, man.
Probably, which turned out pretty good in the end. Sorry, Edgar, I'm sure it would have done... There would be some kind of lovely schadenfreude if it had turned out bad, but Ant-Man turned out pretty good, actually. But did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema. Don't remember it very well.
It's just good fun.
I saw Jumanji the other night.
I hear it. Myself good, and Kat,
it's a fiver into the cinema on a Tuesday, so we started going.
Which cinema?
Once a week in the IMC.
Oh, nice one.
It's either on one or other of the days, Tuesday and Wednesday are the cheap days, and on one of the days, it's a fiver per ticket, and on the other day, it's two for a tenner.
I hear Jumanji's pretty good.
It's really funny. Jack Black is hilarious in it because his character is before they go into the game, the characters all choose their on screen characters, and the sort of pretty girl of the bunch chooses. He's called like Curvy McSomething, but it turns out she ends up being a fat 40-year-old in the game. But Jack Black is fucking hilarious in it. Like, he's
always
really good.
Hilarious. He's really, really good. Yeah. Jack Black. I love
and then the week before that, we saw Molly's Game.
What's that like?
Molly's Game's really good. I enjoy it.
It's Jessica Chastain, isn't it? And Idris Elba.
Yeah, it's really good.
If they had a baby,
they had
that baby would be the best looking baby. We should really just force them to have a baby and then make their baby our king. I think that would solve all our queen. It would solve all the problems in the world if we could all just get behind.
Yeah, I could see that working.
Their kid would be beautiful.
They have fucking what's his name? IT Crowd. What's his
Richard
name? The other one.
Chris
O'Dowd. They have him in... I don't know why...
He's getting pretty big over there.
Yeah, and he's a really good actor, and he's very, very funny and all the rest of it, but I really wish they didn't have him in films doing an American accent. He does the worst American accent.
Why? What does he sound like?
Playing cards here tonight, guys.
Hey, guys.
It's just like... Just let him sound like he's from Roscommon. Would it really fucking affect this story that much if he just sounded like he was from Roscommon?
Hard to imagine somebody being from Roscommon.
But... Yeah, but he's been over in America now for a while. He's going to have some manner of a twang about him, like, you know.
Possibly so.
Anyway, sorry.
Edgar Wright. It was offered to Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright said,
Edgar Wright decided it was wrong for him.
No, he said, I can't do it, lads. I would love to do it. I love 1010. But I can't do it.
Why is his name on it?
He recommended to Stephen Moffat. Stephen Moffat accepted, did some work, and then got offered the showrunner position. Whatever, it's not called the showrunner, is it? On Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah.
Chief writer or whatever they call
head
it.
Head bod.
Head story maker.
Yeah.
And
story editor.
Yeah, whatever it is. And he said, lads, I really can't pass up this thing. So Spielberg and Jackson were like, okay.
Another tantrum from Spielberg. What? Doctor Who?
There was no sign of a fucking tantrum. I don't know where you get this from.
I'm telling you.
I love Spielberg.
He's a fucking dictator. I'm telling you.
I don't think that's true. But anyway, they went back to Edgar Wright. Yeah, maybe it was Ant-Man. Yeah,
on Close Encounters, he was taking credits that weren't even his.
What?
He was rewriting bits and pieces of script just so he could get a credit on it. Apparently he was a real credit whore. Not good enough to be the director.
Just who was?
Spielberg. He's not good enough for him just to be the director. He had to... Was it John Milius that said that he was a right tyrant on that side? You have to read Easy Riders, Raging Bulls.
I'd be very surprised.
I wouldn't. In fact, I'm not, because I'm the one... anyway, Tintin, sorry.
So we went back to Edgar Wright. Edgar and his mate Joe said, yeah, let's do it now. And so it was begun by Stephen Moffat and completed by Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish.
So,
Tintin sees a model ship in a bric-a-brac sale, buys it, is then approached by two people offering him incredible sums of money for this ship. Tintin, nobody's fool, says something's up here.
Something's awry.
And goes to research it. When he comes back, his wee flat has been broken into. The ship has vanished. And it sets Tintin upon a mission to find the secret of the unicorn, which is the name of the ship. And from there, it's a Tintin story. Like, yeah. There's nothing else. There's literally... What did you make of it?
I enjoyed it. Like, I have to say that, look, I won't watch it again or anything, like, you know, but I thought, usually when I see those, when I see something that's CGI that isn't, like, cartoon-style CGI, I always think, why the fuck didn't they just use actors for this? Like, and then I kind of got into it because usually
the... kind of cartoon-style CGI. Like.
In a way, but it's not, they're not doing anything that outlandish that you couldn't do.
Ah.
Like, there's not... I don't think they are, really. Like,
Danny, you know, the big chase through fucking... Where was it? Morocco. With the water, where they accidentally blow up the dam.
There's chase in every other film you see. Why would it be that
not
different?
Not like that.
Of course there is.
Are you joking me?
Is it any different from something in the Avengers, like, or...
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
Chasing a bird. They're chasing a bird. Well, there's sometimes they're chasing and sometimes they're being chased as the fucking treasure map or whatever the fuck it is.
The scroll. Swaps. The three scrolls from the three brothers.
Yeah, the three unicorns. But it's extremely well choreographed. But there is a lot of stuff where Captain Haddock like falls into a dress and ends up wearing a fucking night dress for most of it. And
fair enough.
It's quite cartoony.
Do you have a clip?
Yeah, now, having mentioned Captain Haddock, this is Tintin meeting Captain Haddock, Archibald Haddock. In just a moment.
A giant rat of Sumatra!
Ha! Ah, so you thought you could sneak in behind me and catch me with my trousers down, huh?
Rather you kept your trousers on if it's all the same to you.
I know your game. You're one of them.
Sorry?
They sent you here to kill me, huh?
Look, I don't know who you are!
Now, that's how he's planned, to bump me off. Murdered in my bed by a baby-faced assassin!
Assassin? Look, you've got it all wrong. I was kidnapped by a gang of thugs.
I'm a filthy swine. He's turned the whole crew against me.
Who?
A sour-faced man with a sugary name. He's bought them all off, every last man.
Saccharin.
Nobody takes my ship.
You're the captain.
Of course I'm the captain. Who else could I be?
I've been locked in this room for days with only whiskey to sustain my mortal soul.
Oh. Well, I assumed it was locked.
So that is pretty... That's the tone of the film.
Yeah.
Do
you know what? It was hard coming up with clips for it. Because...
Well, it's action-packed.
It hits the ground running.
Yeah.
And really the only times it stops is for Tintin to go, ah, that must mean... And then this... So that must be that! And then straight back into the next action sequence.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's Tintin, isn't it, like?
Well, see, I remember the cartoon when I was younger, but it always kind of struck me that it was on those cartoons that was kind of trying to educate me as well, because they would go to different parts of the world, and if I had been less of a fucking dope, I might have paid a bit more attention and, you know, learned a little bit more about the world when I was a kid and not just being like, this is boring. I want to watch Inspector Gadget. He doesn't fucking try and teach me anything about the world.
There is that to Tintin, and he went to fucking Tibet and had a deal.
Yeah,
with the
I wish I had watched it more when I was a kid. Now,
yeah, I have them on DVD.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Is it one of those DVDs you never watched?
It's one of those I watched. It's like my Laurel and Hardy ones. I watched maybe half of it.
Is there like 18 discs in it or something?
It's a box. Like it's a chunky box set. But there was that element to Tintin. He's a controversial character, though. A lot of people didn't like that they were making it, you know?
Really? Yeah, why is that?
Couple of things.
Well, we've got a bit of time.
Do we? Yeah, we do. Tintin in the Congo. Yeah, we're right. Yeah, have some whiskey. Tintin in the Congo is...
I don't think you need to say any more.
Yeah. It's of its time, shall we say. To put it mildly, it's pretty... appallingly racist. And Hergé was working and drawing Tintin when the Nazis arrived
Belgium.
And he wound his neck in and kept his head down, essentially. So he has a bit of the stamp of the collaborator on him.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that don't quite like him.
With good reason, to be fair.
Yeah. But I get hard to hold that against Tintin, right? Because I don't know how Hergé behaved. Well, I do know how Hergé behaved when the Nazis came into Belgium. But I also am pretty fucking certain I know how Tintin would have behaved, and he wouldn't have put up with it for a second. right? That's just how it is. Like, you know it and I know it. It's like Orson Scott Card. When I found out he was this crazy homophobe, I was like, but Ender wouldn't do that. It's like, and the worst thing, I hate the idea of him going back to that character now and maybe writing a new Ender book where, well, Ender's dead. Spoilers, Frank, sorry. Welcome. By the last Ender book, Ender was dead. But, you know, I'm kind of glad because Ender never encountered a gay person throughout the books because God knows what would have happened if he had.
Has
I would have been reading it going like, Ender, Jesus Christ, what are you doing?
Has Tintin encountered the Nazis since?
No, I don't believe so. They're just reprinting Hergé's books apart from Tintin in the Congo, which, surprise, surprise, does not get reprinted much. I saw bits from it, I read bits from it.
Have you read the books, the Tintin books?
No, I don't think so. I was the cartoon as well.
Okay.
But I loved it. I really liked Tintin. But he is a kind of a blank slate character. There's nothing... Tintin's always Tintin. Like, it's not like he's going to fucking fall in love.
Well, he doesn't stand still for more than 5 seconds. Like, he really doesn't. Like, you know, you don't really get time to catch up with him, really. Like, you know.
It opens with a guy who they modelled on Hergé. Which was not his real name. Hergé. He was G-R something. His initials were G-R, so he swapped them around and made Hergé. That's his name. They had the guy drawing Tintin who's sitting for a caricaturist in a par at the very start of the film. And then once he stands up from that caricaturist, boom! That guy doesn't fucking sit down until they have the treasure. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah. And even at the end of the film, they're like, oh, there's another clue. And then it's like, that's opening up the sequel, which doesn't seem to be happening.
Well, yeah, they were talking about the sequel.
Well, Spielberg probably didn't want to do it. Can you imagine that? He probably did his one Tintin, and now he's like, well, no, I'm doing Lincoln now, and then he's got to film out at the moment. Like,
well, you see, this is it, yeah. I don't think it did that well. I don't think it was a flop or anything.
In America, it probably wouldn't, though, would it?
I don't think he's big in America. Although, yeah. Spielberg knew him. Spielberg knew Tintin. Spielberg wanted to do Tintin. It's one of those things I think is sort of... vaguely known in America. You might occasionally, you know, if your parents wanted to buy you an educational comic book, to get you a Tintin one, but
it just
you were like, what
ended up there beside Spider-Man?
Like, yeah, but I don't think Tintin is big in America, but Spielberg liked him, Jackson liked him. Jackson's from New Zealand anyway, but
yeah,
they liked him and they wanted to do the film. But yeah, they were talking about the sequel right up until recently, but Spielberg has his stuff to do, and Jackson.
He's got a film out about the.
The Washington Post.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The what do you call it? I watched a documentary about that on Netflix recently. It is an interesting story.
You really have been living it up recently, haven't you?
No, this was maybe a year ago or so. But the guy who did the filibuster and had to read all of he basically leaked, used the privilege in Congress to leak a lot of stuff. I can't remember the name of the scandal now, but it was interesting. It was an interesting documentary. I would probably go see the film.
Yeah, it's supposed to be all right.
Oh, is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, that's what
I heard. In fairness, people said Tintin was just all right. And I put off seeing Tintin, and I was up in Belfast one day by chance, and I had a couple of hours to kill, and there was a cinema there, and Tintin was on, and it was the middle of the day, so I said, fuck it. So I sat, I had nearly the fucking place to myself, and I sat down and went into Tintin. I just got in as it was starting, actually. And, I was like, I loved it. I don't know what people's problem with it is. I really don't.
Well, I think a lot of people thought that the story got really messy, which it kind of did, like, you know.
Isn't that always the way in Tintin, like?
I don't know.
Is it? I there was no, like, I didn't. It's just, there's no oxygen, like, there's no coming up for air, like, you're in, you're in, like, you know?
Well, maybe some people thought it might have been a bit long to be like that, because it's an hour and 40 minutes or something. Something like that should be 85 minutes, like, you know?
Yeah, do they make 85 minute films anymore?
I don't know if they do. Like, yeah, I know that, I know Woody Allen's pretty strict on 90 minutes for most of his films. Like, you know, Kevin Smith apparently is the same.
It's a pity he wasn't stricter about other things.
Good point. Well made. But I wasn't going to say...
Oh, I might be a prick myself, John. I'm sorry I was slagging you. I
saw the trailer for Civil War. Is it Civil War? The Marvel thing?
Oh, Infinity War.
Infinity Wars.
Yeah, what did you make
of it? I was just looking at it going, Jesus, this really is a fucking... kitchen sink fucking affair. Like, you know, it was like And at a bit in the trailer, they meet the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you're just like, how long is this fucking thing going to be to fit all these characters into it? Like, you know, I predict debacle.
Yes,
yeah, so it's going to be a bag of shit. There's no way it can be good.
No, there's no way it's not going to be a disappointment.
Or in fact, there's two Infinity War films, so that's not the only
part one and part two. Like,
So that's only the trailer for part one. So you might wind up with coming to the end of part one and thinking, okay, all right, I'll stick with you for the next one, but they're not going to get the whole way to the end without it being disappointing.
And is that supposed to be the last chapter of the Marvel Universe, like? Or?
Well, they have the Fantastic Four and the X-Men now.
Because a lot of those actors are fucking too old now to be playing those parts.
Well, people say that. I think they should just recast them. I don't understand why.
Would they not need to start again if they had new actors?
James Bond doesn't.
Yeah, but there's not like a whole mythology. Like, is every James Bond film not its own trip? And, you know,
I don't think so.
Like, at no point is there a bit in James Bond where someone says to him, are you not worried you're going to die? And he's like, no, sure, I jump out of airplanes every other year. Like, you know, why would I be worried? Like, you know.
I find it, no, I don't understand why they should just recast and let it be. It's ridiculous. It's fanboy mentality. They fucking turn the comics into boring fucking middle of the road shite, and now they're determined to do the same with the films. But anyway,
not Tintin.
Tintin was exciting.
And it was like, it seemed to be for kids.
But there were times when it actually got a wee bit. It kind of shocked me sometimes, like when the guy comes to his door and gets machine gun down. Like,
and the only other thing I was thinking as well was the booze with the sea captain.
Yeah.
By the end of it, they're kind of saying, like, he's an absolute alcoholic, but he needs the drink to sort of steady himself. Like, you know, so he's gonna keep drinking. Like, he didn't stop drinking.
Yeah.
Like, at the very end of the film, he gulps down two glasses of wine. Like, you know.
Yeah, but he kicks the bottle of whiskey overboard.
Yeah, but I mean, that was before he drinks the wine, though.
Yeah, it is.
So it's like, you know, it kind of relapsed be far away, Niall?
No, probably not, no. Well, I think that was the relapse, wasn't it? But, good point. But it had, I mean, stuff when he's breaking out of the ship, he's fairly fucking sopping it to the jaws. Like, I was watching, because it wasn't that long after he had the fourth Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I remember thinking, watching this Tintin going, if you can do this, how did you fuck up Indiana Jones so badly? Like,
maybe, you know, there was a lot riding on that Indiana Jones film. There's a lot of people with a lot of memories and a lot of expectations, like, you know. Whereas no one, I don't think Tintin's the same, really, like, you know.
I liked Tintin a lot.
Yeah, but that's just you. Like, you
know, I don't think it is. I think he's a very popular character.
Well, not in
they
the States.
They put him on the coins in Belgium.
Really, yeah.
I only know that because, was it Jacques Chirac, when they informed him they were going to make a Tintin coin in Belgium, opined, well, en français, obviously, I don't speak French, but Chirac opined, well, it's a country short on icons, isn't it? That was just a bitchy.
It's kind of a good point, though.
Well, it's a very French way of putting it, though, at the same time. Those fucking French. I've got nothing against the French. I don't know
any French listeners out there that we do you think we have any French listeners?
I'm sure somebody I'd like to think we do. Accidentally downloaded one in France. I can't remember. We have
might get Belgian listeners after this.
Yeah, they fucking love this Tintin shit. Can't get enough of it. I enjoyed Tintin a lot. I enjoyed it far more than I expected to, because people were very sort of lukewarm on it. Mark Kermode was very lukewarm on it.
Oh yeah, well he wasn't even lukewarm. I think he didn't like it.
I don't understand. I just don't understand what people's problem was with it. I understand the people who were objecting on the grounds that Hergé collaborated with the Nazis. I don't think he actually actively collaborated, but he fucking turned his blind eye. Like,
Tintin didn't go after the Nazis,
exactly. Yeah. And
whereas fucking Captain America did.
Yes, indeed. And what do you call him? Or the Tintin in the Congo book? You know, there's no denying it's You know, it's a piece of racist colonialist propaganda.
But there's racist no doubt shit in Monty Python.
There's racist shit in everything. And this was like back in the 30s. Like, you know, I kind of have to, like, you have to rate people on a curve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really
yeah.
think you do have to rate them on a curve. I mean, we can't all be as fucking modern and hip to the groove as myself, Danny.
Hip to the
groove. It'd be unfair to expect it of people, like, you know.
Man. But no, it's like, what did you make of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost as the two boys?
Thompson. I thought, why?
Yeah, well, it's because fucking Edgar Wright must have mentioned them.
I understand why Simon. I think Simon Pegg and Nick Frost would be exactly the kind of guys to go, can I get in the Tintin film,
but
please?
But do you also think after Shaun of the Dead came out, a lot of these directors kind of had hard ons to work with those two lads, like, you know, in any capacity?
It seemed like, yeah. So they go in and they do.
Do you think Simon Pegg is of any use to anybody on his own? Do you think outside of that partnership, he's done anything really?
Has Edgar Wright outside of that partnership done anything?
No. Well, I haven't seen Baby Driver, but Kevin Spacey then, so I probably won't bother.
Really?
I don't know. I don't want to look at him.
I quite badly want to see it.
Well,
3 weeks off and I still
haven't.
Scott
Pilgrim's pretty good.
Yeah. We were talking about this last week.
I just can't think of anything. Like, Paul was just all right. The two boys in it, like, you know.
Look, sometimes there's a sort of chemistry there between people that just works on its own. Like,
of them need to do something with Jessica as well. They need to, like, it doesn't have to be spaced, but they should do something, you know.
Yeah, I love her to bits. I think she's deadly. She was in that brilliant Doctor Who episode. Those two.
She was when
she was like a nurse, wasn't she?
He was a teacher, wasn't he?
That was
really good.
Reimagined himself as a
human. And he didn't want to be the doctor again at the end of it.
He didn't want to stop being a human.
Jessica Stevenson, I'm not going anywhere, like, you know.
Yeah. It was good. Those are two of my very, very favourite episodes.
Yeah, they were good episodes.
Human Nature and the Family of Blood.
Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen those David Tennant episodes in a long time.
Neither have I. It finishes, he locks one of them in all the mirrors in the world.
Is that what happened?
Hmm.
Fuck, I have no recollection of that at all.
I thought it was quite a creepy idea. If you're in a mirror, if you pass a mirror and you see something move in the background and you look around and it's gone, there's nothing there, that's the Family of Blood. That's one of the Family of Blood that the Doctor locked forever in its own reflection to wander all the mirrors in the world. It's quite a creepy idea.
Yeah,
I like that.
A creepy idea, yeah.
Fucking bowling me over with your enthusiasm.
It is. What do you want me to do? Like, scream?
Yeah, fucking go.
Is there a mirror I can look into? Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I go. This is Daniel Craig.
Welcome to Marlin Spike Hall. I see you let yourself in.
I came to retrieve my property.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I follow you.
Oh, I think you do. This ship was stolen from my apartment less than an hour ago.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, Mr. Tintin.
There's no mistake. It belongs to me.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I took it home, I put it on a cabinet in the living room, and then Snowy chased the cat and knocked it over, and it fell. This isn't my ship.
No, indeed.
I'm sorry. Looks identical.
Well, looks can be deceiving.
Yes, indeed. I don't understand. Why did Sir Francis make two ships exactly alike? And you have one already. Why do you want another? What is it about this model that will cause someone to steal it?
Goodness me. Why so many questions?
It's my job. There could be a story here. That's what I do, you see.
Well, it's no great mystery. Sir Francis Haddock was a drunkard and a hopeless reprobate. He was doomed to fail, and he bequeathed that failure to his sons.
So it's true. The Haddock line is cursed.
What else have you found out?
What is there to find?
That depends what you're looking for.
I'm looking for answers, Mr. Saccharin.
You're looking in the wrong place.
Well! It wasn't that exciting.
It was, yeah. We're not talking about something else during that clip, and you totally didn't nearly choke.
A little bit of whiskey went down the wrong shoe. So So if I didn't die on my way...
That usually happens at the distillery, not in the person.
If I hadn't died on my way to the Amsterdam whorehouses, I was going to die from my alcohol.
But yeah,
it's like in Mrs. Doubtfire. It was the drink that killed him. Was an alcoholic? No, he was hit by a Guinness truck.
I did enjoy Tintin. I'm not like... You're right there.
You have problems with them bothering to animate it, though, apparently.
Yeah, I do. It was only while we were talking while that clip was on that you were saying that it's motion capture.
Mm.
And then I was like, does that mean everyone had to wear like the suit with the light bulbs on it? Is Andy Serkis in Nothing where he doesn't do that now? Is that one of the What is he so good at that makes him the guy that they go to for the motion capture? What does he do?
He's just the first one that really fucking nailed it for people. Like, but people like Colin.
What's he doing that someone else couldn't do way cheaper? I'll do it.
Well, sure. I mean, they had Daniel. That was Daniel Craig there playing the villain. There's a cachet to getting names. Like, Disney do that. Wasn't The Rock in the last Disney one?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Moana. Yeah, he was.
I don't know.
Asked and answered, Niall. Yeah, so everybody was wearing those. Jamie Bell and the whole lot.
Who's Jamie Bell?
He's an actor.
No, I know that, but like, who is he? Like,
I don't know the man.
Like, do you not know him from anything
else?
He's
his father. I think he was in that one where they could teleport. Wasn't that him?
What was that called?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
How do you know about it then?
Well, there's lots of things I haven't seen, Danny. But I've never seen Ayers Rock, but I'm pretty sure. Like, why would they lie? Like, it would be crazy.
That was a stupid question. I don't know. It was really good. But not it's your not thing. Necessary.
Oh, okay, that's better than I was expecting. I was watching it the other night, thinking this is not his thing at all.
If I drifted off a little bit near the end and was kind of doing other things, like I was sitting in my room watching it and. Near the end, I'd started like tidying up the drawers and stuff like while it was on.
It has a touch of Spider-Man 2 syndrome.
What's Spider-Man 2 syndrome?
When your biggest, coolest, most, I will never forget this moment, action scene happens in the middle of the film and the ending then just doesn't quite...
What's the biggest one?
The chase in Morocco.
That's when I kind of lost interest during the chase.
That?
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was... spectacularly choreographed.
Do you know what was brilliant was the title sequence. It was a real sort of 60s like, kind of title sequence. Yeah, I thought that was great.
Spielberg does that a lot, doesn't he? He did that with Catch Me If You Can, didn't he?
Did he? I can't remember.
I think
that's a great film though, Catch Me If You Can. I liked it.
Yeah, well, I liked it too. Like, but also, I like a lot of things. You know, that kind of way?
Yeah. It's not one that stood out.
Yeah,
I just didn't deny it. I watched it. I was like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Martin Sheen was in it. People like Martin Sheen.
People do like Martin Sheen. Another 30 Rock alumni.
Was he
Wesley Snipes?
Oh, no, not that Martin Sheen. The other Martin Sheen.
Oh, okay.
Old Martin Sheen.
Oh, okay.
People like him because of The West Wing.
Is the other guy's name Martin Sheen as well, or is it Michael Sheen?
Oh. Yeah, it's Michael Sheen.
Yeah, Michael Sheen is Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you heard that name and you'd never seen Wesley Snipes, which of us do you think?
It's a very good point.
Yes, you don't think of it as
an effete Englishman's name.
Anyway, yeah, people love the fucking Martin Sheen because of The West Wing, and I've never seen The West Wing.
Although Aaron Sorkin directed Molly's Game.
Oh, that's
and
right.
That was,
yeah.
And it was, I really enjoyed that. We saw it the other night.
I want to see, there's another one she's in that I wanted to see about the gun control laws.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
It was just out there before Christmas. I don't go to see these fucking films.
It's only Fiverr on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which one. It's working on the.
That would be good if I went. Oh, no, but that's the IMC, you see. I was thinking if I could do that of a Tuesday night. Like, I could go out of work. I'd have to finish work on time now.
You're thinking of going to the Omniplex.
Yeah, out of work, into the gym. Out of the gym, end of the.
You still keeping up the gym schedule? Oh, that's good.
Now, I haven't been eating right, so I probably put on about a half of the fucking stone and a half stone.
What have you been eating? It's been so terrible. It's Christmas shit.
It's just shit, yeah. And Christmas really hasn't stopped for me. Like, this is my last night of Christmas. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
I'm just getting takeaways. I'm living on takeaways. It's disgusting.
Where do you go? What's your poison?
Oh, Danny, I'm at the point now where I'm running out of place. I can't mix it up anymore, like, you know. Go to Aile de France, go to fucking Subway down beside me. There's a wee kebab place up around the corner.
Is there?
Ring Domino's, Ring Apache.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's weird.
Why would you bring Apache over Domino's?
Change.
Because that Apache pizza is not good.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, but in a world where Domino's exists and the fucking places are on the same street, like, why would you ring Apache?
Is Domino's that good?
Well, it's better than Apache. Apache is real bargain basement stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'd eat it, like, you know, but...
Oh, hang on, I meant Pizza Hut, not Apache.
Oh, okay, okay.
But also, I've gone to Apache before. I've gotten pizzas from Apache before.
Oh, so have I, but, I mean, they're not good, like, you know.
You want to use my life as fucking... as a road marker.
But what was I going to say? I'm actually trying to give up meat at the minute.
Completely give up
meat? Yeah, I've only eaten meat once this year so far.
Fair play, but it's only January day.
Yeah, which is not a good sign. But I've been trying. I can't go vegan. And I probably will keep fish so that I can eat something in a fucking restaurant that I happen to be
pescatarian.
In one. Pescatarian. Or what was it Richard Hawley said? A fish and chipocrit.
Listen, fish are good, but you couldn't eat meat. Because I'm still going to the gym. I'm in a weird position now where I'm not losing any more weight. And I'm started sort of staying. And because of the eating, it's getting grand. But I'm not losing, like, you could see a wee bit of definition coming. And I'm not losing that, so I'm a fucking neither flesh nor fowl anymore. But I would need the meat, like, you know,
eggs. Okay.
It's going to be eggs and chicken for me now for the next week while from tomorrow I'm going to start eating right again. Like,
that's just a circle of life, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Chicken abortions chicken. For breakfast, actual chickens for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. Did you ever get one of those eggs with the chicken in it?
No. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's never happened to me.
With the blood that came out?
No.
Yeah,
I've seen blood in a yolk or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah, but I've had the blood. I've never had a chicken.
No, me neither. I didn't realise that actually happened. That's kind of scary.
Chicken embryo, yeah, it does from time to time. It's the same process that gives you the blood in the yolk, like, obviously.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
He was injecting blood into the yolks. Like.
But, I don't know, like...
Can you eat eggs? Would you continue to eat eggs?
Well, see, this is the thing. I have no real interest in being a vegan. Mm. I'd like to think that if I'm eating eggs and I'm eating dairy and all that stuff, that everything was being done well and animals were being treated well, but I'd look at what it... I don't know.
It's unlikely, Danny.
Yeah, but Kat knows people that keep chickens.
Mm.
And they, oh, she can see exactly how they're kept, like, you know.
That's turned into quite the wee fucking hobby now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not unusual for people to keep chickens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's... that's the thing. I want to not eat as much meat, but I also want to be able to be, if I'm in a restaurant, not be like, can I just get rice, you know, yeah, with like some fucking carrots on it or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
Although there is a restaurant in town now that does vegan, there's two vegan options on the meal. They do a vegan burger and a vegan something else.
Give them a shout out.
The Spotted Dog. It used to be the Chestnut.
Oh!
It's reopened as this place, the Spotted Dog.
I didn't realize it
was really good. Oh, yeah, the Chestnut's gone. Do you know that?
No. How long has that been?
That was the best fry up in town for many's the year.
Were you better than Ma Brady's?
Yeah.
Ma Brady's is closer to me.
True. But that's not really one of the qualifiers.
It is for me.
When was the last time you were in Ma Brady's for a fry up then?
Just before Christmas. I should have gone over to Christmas. Sure, look. What do you do?
But that was that part of your fucking magical mystery tour of Dundalk takeaways?
Ma Brady's?
Yeah.
No, I haven't gone since before Christmas. Do you know when I go to Ma Brady's, if I wake up on a hangover, a Sunday morning hangover, Ma Brady's?
Do you sit down or do you get a roll?
Sit down, yeah. Man.
Fuck, it's the business, isn't it?
It is the biz. It's nice.
That is one of its main selling points.
The one thing.
It's certainly not the fucking good deeds that go into producing it.
But it's if you want to build anything,
which I don't,
it could be nice to build something.
For what? Am I gonna have your to fucking
satisfaction?
Am I gonna have to lift a car over my head at some point? Like, you know, I don't
know.
You never
know. What if you're walking in the street and I'm trapped under a car in the middle of a car crash?
What, you think I'm gonna be like fucking Action Comics number one? Lift the fucking thing up? Like,
well, maybe if you had a bit of fucking meat. Think of other people, Danny.
I don't need to lift anything heavier than the fucking headset at work.
Dear old work. Oh, I'm dreading going back now. It's, yeah, it's been worst, so it? Long, like.
And you'll have that first day now where you can't do anything. You like everything you do will kind of be like, oh, well, how does this go again?
I'm dreading that nothing I left behind me will have been touched. That's what I'm dreading, and I will have a first day. That's
it's
just,
terrible, isn't it? Because you do that thing when you know you're going to have a week or two off. You're just like, oh, someone else will find. Not even someone else. You're like, fuck, is future Niall's problem. It's not my problem.
Before I went to Amsterdam, I went into work the evening because I kind of booked it on a whim. I booked it on the Tuesday night to go to Thursday morning. And the Wednesday, I went into work and saved everything that could come up. Because like when I was around the town, I was like, oh, if they need something, they'll call me. And if it needs to be, I can run in. But when I was, okay, I'm going to be 2 days in Amsterdam. I went and I saved everything on the common drive at work. If anybody needed anything I was doing, they would have access to it there. And nobody got back to me about anything. And maybe it's because everything went super smoothly. But maybe it's because nothing got done about it.
So it's probably closer to it.
Yeah,
we'll see. Like we're coming to a natural wrap-up here now.
Yeah, we are a bit, I think, Dan. Yeah. So what are we thinking? Two sort of thumbs up this week?
Yeah, I mean, you seem to sort of enjoy Begin Again, and I sort of enjoyed Tintin.
I did. You just have to overlook the smugness, which is not...
But that's what the actors are doing. The actors are doing it for you. They're doing their best, like, you know? They're pushing the smug down. Every time they see something come up, they slap it down. That's what I think is going on there. Smug slapping.
They knew what they were about. They knew who they were dealing with.
Yeah.
Think you're
seen once. And if they had fucking had the time, they'd probably seen that other grotesquerie, that Alien film, which is one of the most misogynist things I've ever seen.
Why? Misogynist?
I don't remember, but I remember at the time thinking this is dreadfully misogynist.
I remember. I know we said we wouldn't talk about this shit, but I'm going to. No,
Aziz Ansari apparently.
What?
He's the latest. Yeah,
he's such a cutie
pie. Yeah, no, yeah. It was some writer was on a date with him and wrote an article about it, and it's terrible behavior if it's true. If not, then he's still a cutie pie.
God, what was the behavior she wrote about?
I was fucking standing in McDonald's earlier waiting on a pizza, and I just saw it. Oh, Aziz.
That's a pity. I like him. I haven't watched his Netflix thing though.
I watched the season though. It's really good.
I hear it's good. But I don't know. All that stuff kind of hit me for six or threw me for a loop. I was like, people do that shit? But in the election, I remember the way people reacted to Hillary Clinton. And there was, I said it at the time and I got outright sneered at for it. That if she was a man, she would not have been judged a tenth as harshly as she was judged.
Oh no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it was purely because she was a woman. She was held to a completely different standard. I remember saying that. And it was only during the week, because I had fucking fuck all to be doing, so I was sitting around lying on the couch going, thinking about all the mysteries of the world, Danny. And it suddenly occurred to me, why would it surprise me? I saw how people reacted when I suggested that about their attitudes to Hillary Clinton, which were because she was a woman. Why would it surprise me that people have this fucked up opinion of what women should do or women should be like?
But it's
I saw it happen. I saw them elect a fucking narcissistic fucking lunatic.
Do you see the business about him talking called Haiti a shithole or whatever? Yeah. Like, have you ever heard anything like this?
He is an idiot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
He doesn't believe any of the shit that he talks about either. Like, you know, he's not a fucking Christian.
No.
Nothing even remotely like it.
What wife is he under?
And he's also, like, all the shit has come out that he's, like, tried to pay off, like, porn stars that he tried to get. Have you seen that?
Really?
There's two cases have come up that apparently he had affairs with two porn stars and paid them to be quiet. Although, the two porn stars in question are like, I didn't sleep with that guy, you know, but there must have been something, like maybe he made advances or something, like, you know.
But sure, he fucking admitted it on tape that he does that shit, like.
Oh, man.
I mean, what do you do, like?
It's fucking, and it seems fucking redundant to even bring it up now, like, you know, it's just like.
People would rather him be in control of the nuclear fucking codes than a woman. And then I was fucking surprised when I found out people were raping all around them. Like,
Why would I be surprised? It just struck me. You were so naive.
Run a bath, let alone a country. Like, you know, it's and it's he's
the only
like,
reason they'd let him run a marathon is the slim hope of a heart attack.
See, all he eats is fucking like takeaway, like McDonald's or whatever. Like, you know, and
he's a lunatic.
Yeah,
but I just it struck me. It was like I should have realized it. I don't know why. I don't know where I get off being so surprised like by all this shit. It's not right.
It's just, you know, but I like that's the second. Did you watch the second Dave Chappelle special? Mm-hmm. I know you said you saw the first one. Did you see the second
I watched
one?
Like I was doing nothing but listening to those.
Yeah, in he the gym like this his point about Ben Affleck on that special, where you know Ben Affleck came forward during the Me Too movement and said, did you not hear that bit in the special?
No.
Where he's like the Ben Affleck comes forward and says, I'm really coming out in support of the Me Too movement, and people were just like, fuck you touched a tit in 1995 on MTV, and then he's like, alright, I'm done, I'm out, you know. And Dave Chappelle's okay. thing is that rather than judging people for their actions, like, why don't, like, he's gonna say it infinitely better than I'm gonna say it right now, but his thing was, why don't we
spoilers the people for who next are, week
the people who are willing to admit that they've done wrong in the past, instead of slamming them down, why not involve them in the conversation, like, you know? And
well, that's
not like not people that have raped people, obviously, but someone who's, you know, acted somewhat inappropriately because they didn't, you know, because it was the way things were done at the time.
That's not what the movement's about. With the greatest of respect, that's not what these fucking internet movements are about. They're just fucking long distance bullying. That's all they are.
You might have a point.
They're nasty people. I don't like them. There's a very good episode of Joe Rogan where he talks to one of those guys who found himself in the who had some kind of podcast that was leading a very ultra left wing but it was a very ultra left wing political podcast, you know, who would go after people like that. And then one day he went out with somebody. He was on tour. He was stand up. He was on tour. Went with a woman back to his hotel room. They did not have sex, but they chatted all night. And she left. And he thought, you know, she was a fan. And he left. And he was like, this grand. And she's not claiming they have sex. She's just claiming that she felt sexually threatened. She felt sexually threatened. And so everybody went after him. But he is in the interesting position. Oh, he's there. There's a podcast. I just can't think of his name. Like,
oh, okay.
He sat there and he talked to Joe Rogan for like 2 hours or whatever.
That's why I can't listen to Joe Rogan. Some of those podcasts are like 4 hours and stuff. Like,
it was interesting to hear him because he was a guy who had kind of made his career going after people over shit like that, over whether it was nothing or not.
Do you think you'll see less of that kind of stuff of those kind of people?
No.
Less of those kind of comedians or writers or whatever you want to call them that are ultra righteous in their material or their writings or whatever, because like one tiny little thing could topple you, like, you know, no one's fucking perfect, like,
well,
you know?
That was why that was an interesting podcast to listen to, because he was a guy who had spent however many years going after people like for this, and then suddenly saying, okay, I didn't realize, she never told me she was sexually threatened, I don't know what I did that made her feel sexually threatened, we didn't have sex, I didn't attempt to have sex with her. We sat, we were fucking having conversation, we thought it was good, then she left, and I thought we were all good, and then suddenly there's a story in the fucking, some blog where she's put up talking about this, I didn't know about this, and he hasn't really got a leg to stand on, because that's what he was doing his whole fucking life, like.
Yeah.
Not his whole life, his career, that's how he made his career. It was an interesting podcast to listen to, but it leaves me with very little fucking time for these people. I don't, hashtag me too. All right, fair enough, but I don't really give a fuck.
Speaking of little time, it's time to wrap things up.
Yes, what are we doing next week then?
Next week, Niall, it's a bit of a weird one, but I want you to watch a documentary about a musician called Jeff Rosenstock, and it's called Never Get Tired.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone's going to be able to, I think you have to go and buy it to watch it, which I did.
Okay.
But I've got the file for you, obviously, but I don't know, like, if anyone out there wants
and to all watch, of you listeners.
Yeah, I'll stick it up on some fucking Dropbox site for everybody. No, I won't.
Okay.
I don't think anyone else, unless you go and buy it, are going to be, unless you're unscrupulous in your internet practices, you can go and
get
it.
I'm so lazy. I want to see that Death of Superman Lives documentary, but you can only get it from their website.
Oh, I watched it on YouTube.
Is it the whole thing on YouTube?
Yeah. It was. I don't know if it's still there, but I watched it on YouTube.
All right. Well, what is it called? Never Get Tired?
Never Get Tired. I've got my... Don't worry. I've got the file with me that I can just put on your computer.
Nice one.
Along with lots of other files to pollute it.
Nice one.
So what am I doing?
I want you to watch Dave Chappelle's...
Done!
I want you to watch Dave Chappelle's new Netflix special, Equanimity.
Okay, fair enough. Guys, thanks very much for listening to hear us talk about two pretty fucking obscure... So, you know, obscure in people's memories. I'm sure no one was really chomping at the bit to hear a podcast about Begin Again, but we did one.
No, we've certainly taken the step down from Popeye, all right.
But thanks very much for listening. Share it with like-minded folk. Fucking download, share, all that good stuff. Well, you've downloaded it already. Mm-hmm. Share it.
Mazel tov, folks.
And we're going to go out with another bit of Keira Knightley, just because, whatever. So, I've been Danny O'Hanlon.
I've been Niall McCann.
And we'll see you again at some point over the next, 9 or 10 days.
Period of time.
Cheerio. And you have broken every single fucking rule. And I have loved you like a fool.